Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
And it is Tuesday, December 18th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a vigil was held Monday night outside the home of 24-year-old Iris Williams, who was shot and killed while her five-day-old daughter slept just feet away. On Friday morning, police say Williams' boyfriend, Tyrese Lynch, shot her in the head after an argument. 32-year-old Lynch turned himself into police on Monday. This isn't the first time the couple's relationship turned violent. Police say Lynch was arrested about a year ago for assaulting Williams, but charges were dropped when officials say she didn't appear in court. Neighbors reported hearing yelling between the two in the weeks leading up to the murder. The mother of three had just given birth just days before, and that baby girl is now staying with an aunt. Investigators said that there were signs of struggles inside the home. Furniture was overturned, but the baby was not injured. A federal report released Monday states a 500,000 people across the United States are homeless. The report found 2/3 of Americans homeless are in shelters, while the rest are living on the street. Homelessness stayed mostly flat from 2017 to 2018, only up 0.3%. Notably, fewer veterans and families with children were homeless. Philadelphia had the 13th largest homeless population this year. There were an estimated 5,788 homeless people in this year's count, up 1.7% over last year. Of that nearly 6,000 people, 1,083 of them were said to be living on the streets. Now, city officials contend that Philadelphia is has the smallest homeless population among large cities. Philadelphia Eagles linebacker Nigel Bradham took a group of kids on a shopping spree Monday night. Four families got an early Christmas on the day after the Eagles win on Sunday night. And even better, the tab was picked up by Eagles linebacker Nigel Bradham.
That's so cool.
The families were selected from Northern Children's Services, an adoption agency. One woman was there with her six grandchildren and said that Bradham is a great example of investing in children. If we start giving back to these children, giving them a reason to look up, maybe these children won't have a reason to go out and do things that they do, harming and taking each other's lives, she said. In sports this morning,
ball sacks are yours.
The Sixers lost to the Spurs last night in San Antonio, 123-96. J.J. Redick and Ben Simmons each had 16 points to lead the Sixers on the second night of a back-to-back. Joel Embiid was limited to 13 points on 6-for-17 shooting and finished with 11 rebounds in the loss. The Sixers are back home tomorrow night to host the New York Knicks. The Flyers have officially fired coach Dave Hackstall. Scott Gordon, the coach of the Phantoms, will serve as interim head coach. Hackstall was in his fourth year with the team, is the fifth NHL coach to be fired already this season. This comes after there were no head coach dismissals during all of last season, a first since the original six expansion. As of yesterday, the Flyers have the worst record in the Eastern Conference and are on a four-game losing streak, during which they've been outscored 22-8. In other team news, the Flyers have recalled goalie Carter Hart from the Lehigh Valley Phantoms and have reassigned Alex Lyon to Lehigh Valley. Also, they've placed Anthony Stolarz on the injured reserve. Hart will be available for tonight's game against the Detroit Red Wings and will wear number 79. The puck drops at 7 o'clock. In Monday Night Football, the New Orleans Saints beat up on the Carolina Panthers 12-9 to take a big step toward locking up the home field advantage for the NFC playoffs. The Saints defense, which has been among the best in the league the last 6 weeks, held Panthers quarterback Cam Newton to 131 yards passing, sacked him four times, and forced two turnovers. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs.
Hey.
And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. We welcome you to a Tuesday morning with the Preston and Steve Show. We are going to have our friends from Yards Brewing stopping in today, and they're bringing by some goodies to give away, so I'll have your opportunity to win some stuff. We'll let you know when that starts happening. We also have a Tattoos Day today, and we have listener Roland who is coming in to get some ink, and we'll bring you up to speed on the progress of that through the course of the morning. We are down to 25 slots left for the Christmas Miracle broadcast.
Dear God.
On Thursday. Now, that's
it's critical.
We have here on the show. Now, tonight, Marissa will have 10 sets of passes to give away, and she'll be at Blue Cross River Ring from 8 to 10. It is the last of the Miller Lite Ugly Sweater pre-party that's taking place. And if you pop out there and see her tonight, you'll have a chance to possibly end up in the audience with us Thursday morning at Parks Casino.
And will she have sweaters with her tonight? Do we know?
There's nothing about sweaters. Okay. I don't know.
Marissa, there's one event that had sweaters.
Yeah, I think I'm getting ugly sweaters, and then we're going to host like a little trivia challenge.
Nice.
To win those tickets.
All right, so make sure you stop by and see her at the River Rink tonight. You know what? So let's take callers. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do callers 15, 16, and 17 right now at 215-263-WMMR. So 15, 16, and 17. If you are available Thursday morning, then call right now. You have to be at least 21. You can bring a friend as well, but only you will be eligible at the end of a contestant's row. That doesn't mean your friend won't win something. We have some other ways for people to win while they are there at the event. And we're doing it in the new location, the Excite Center, which you've never done it for. So this is a little trial and error will be taking place, but we want you to join us for that event. We'll have more chances to win coming up during the course of today's show, so make sure that you're with us. We'll take a break, come back in a second, give some other stuff away with a stupid question, entertainment report, and more when we get back. So hang in there with us this morning. We'd love to have you on board.
This 93.3 WMMR Audio On Demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, what's up? It's Preston. Listen, I'd like to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast. Jack Frost and Big Boulder ski areas are officially open for the season. And WMMR's Day Up on the Slopes with Pierre Jackson is January 4th. Tickets are available now at WMMR.com while supplies last. JFBB, where the snow comes first.
If you love paying for shipping, you're going to hate Steven Singer. Free shipping both ways, making return and exchanges easy. Visit him online at IHateStevenSinger.com or at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Hey, gang, this holiday season, your special someone is going to unwrap and unwind. If you get him a gift card from Hand & Stone Massage and Facial Spa, and there's a special offer, you can save $10 on spa gift cards at regular pricing, or you can buy a holiday spa package, and you get a free massage or facial gift card with that. Go to handandstone.com today for all the information.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Then we're going to do the stupid question this morning, and we are going to give away this morning a pair of tickets to see John Oliver December 31st at the Met. Question that I have for you has to do with the movie Home Alone 2, Lost in New York. What is the actual name of the character played by Tim Curry in that movie?
Oh, geez.
215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer to that. In Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, what is the actual name of the character played by Tim Curry? 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. Some big, big birthdays today on December 18th, and a milestone birthday for the top one on this list. It's Keith Richards' birthday today, and Keith Richards is 75 years old.
Wow.
Nobody thought he would make it to 30 years old.
I know, since he passed away about, 15 years ago,
right? Yeah, something like that. But he's still going strong.
He goes great.
For a dead guy?
Energetic.
No, he, he topped the Deadpool list for years.
I have no doubt.
Of somebody who was going to die within that calendar year.
Honestly, I remember seeing that the Chuck Berry documentary that he did.
Yeah.
And I thought, this guy's got maybe a year in him.
And that was
Chuck Berry looked better.
That was probably the late 80s, early 90s, something along those lines. But yeah, man, he
must have that, what do they call it? Was it Mickey Mantle?
The Mickey Mantle gene.
Yeah,
he must have him and Ozzy and Mickey Mantle.
They can beat themselves up like nobody's business and just keep moving forward.
Exactly. And he's a legend, man. He has been the man behind some of the greatest rock songs of all time.
You know what? I've come to appreciate him more and more over the years. When you start to realize what he wrote and what he wrote the most of, and then some of my favorite Stone songs are his, you know.
I think this song, it was either this song or Satisfaction that he was up drunk playing. He was rolling tape on it.
Yeah,
he passed out. It was Satisfaction?
Yeah.
Satisfaction. And he wakes up in the morning. The tape was all on one reel, which means it ran all the way through. And he backed it up and listened to it. He didn't remember a freaking thing. And there was Satisfaction.
There's that.
One of the greatest riffs of all time.
I remember there was a, MTV,
almost like a commercial, like a promo.
Right.
Him in like black and white. And
he was on The Real World for a season.
No. But him telling that story about how he had woken up after a heavy night of drinking. And I think when he was telling the story, he had the guitar in his hand. And he goes, and so when I played the tape back, I heard this. And he played that. Bam, bam, bam.
No, that's great.
Well, that you can go to sleep and wake up to a hit.
Yeah, happy 75th to the one and only Mr. Keith Richards.
And that show's almost sold out for next summer. June 4th at the Link. Yeah,
Nick.
And I'm trying to get tickets.
Ticket prices.
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable.
Nick, if you win tickets to the Christmas Miracle, never know.
It's all possible. Right.
That's probably my best bet.
Yeah. All right. It is, like I said, big, big birthdays today. Not just Keith Richards' birthday today, but Brad Pitt's birthday is today.
Wow.
And he is 55 years old, so 20 years younger than Keith Richards on the day.
I'm actually happy that there are signs of aging showing up on Brad Pitt. It gives me comfort, but still a great-looking guy. I like him. I like him in a lot of movies. I think he's a really solid actor.
For the first time a couple of weeks ago, I just happened to be up in the morning, and I had never watched it, but Curious Case of Benjamin Button was on.
Yeah.
And I watch it. It's an odd little movie, but I enjoyed it, and I don't get distracted by Brad Pitt and his stunning good looks. He's a great actor.
You know what?
Inglourious Bastards. He's great.
He's really good. You know what he's really good in as well? And he was here promoting it. World War Z.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
Yeah, he crushed a cheesesteak down here, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, man.
That's crushed a cheesesteak.
He's 55 today. It's also Steven Spielberg's birthday today.
Well, what can you say?
Told you there were some biggies today.
What
man.
Can you say?
What that, music should I use for him?
To go with Jaws.
Jaws? Okay.
Jaws.
One of his breakout roles. Breakout movies, his first big blockbuster. That HBO series on Spielberg was excellent.
Yeah, there's so much material, and it's a long and deservingly so documentary about him.
Listen, I love his style. There is in War of the Worlds, there is a sequence that is shot by him that just blows me away every single time I see it. And it's really right, like, kind of in the beginning where the crap hits the fan, and it's just one static shot of Tom Cruise running, and it's in the car and out of the car.
Yeah.
And do you know what I'm talking about?
It's a great scene. You're right. Yeah.
It's amazing.
And everything's blowing up around him, but they keep it on Cruise the whole time, and he's escaping in the minivan and running. It's a great scene.
Yeah. But at the same time, Nick Murphy points out he has everybody has a, I guess, some weaknesses, and at the end of Ready Player One, just people show up with these Artemis signs out of nowhere.
There's some cheeseball moments in that movie. You know what? It'd be interesting to rank your least favorite to favorite amongst his, because there's so many things, and even amongst your least favorite, they're still going to be pretty great.
You're always seeing. I go back to a movie called a made for TV movie that he did called Duel, which is a phenomenal movie. It's basically Jaws, but instead of a shark, it's an 18-wheeler.
Yeah.
And it's really good. His capability, I remember seeing when Schindler's List came out, I remember, you know, just crying initially at the return of a great filmmaker after some very light and fluffy stuff that sort of missed the mark, like Hook.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. They're okay, but they
People
weren't.
People enjoyed that. I enjoyed that.
I love Hook. Don't you put down Hook.
Yeah, but
it's not the same as Schindler's List, though.
Yeah, you can understand where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
Right, but it's two different audiences, right?
So,
like the people that were into Hook, like, you know, me and you, Nick, we were kids.
I hate it.
But there, Steve, I don't know. You would know more about this, but does he have a hand in the editing as well?
Yeah, he's massively into the editing. He has his set editor that he's used for a long time. Post-production and pre-production and everything. He's a consummate filmmaker.
Yep, 72 years old today. Katie Holmes, and it's the big 4-0 for her today. So she's 40 years old.
I love you.
Yeah.
Dawson.
Dawson's Creek.
Dawson's Creek.
That's where she got started.
Now with Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, it's a word.
Yes.
And she only has the one kid with Tom Cruise. That's it, right?
Yeah.
Siri.
I don't know how old she is now. But
She's like 10? 12?
10 yeah, or 12, yeah. Something like that?
No, she is around my daughter's age. So I want to say I think she's older. So she's 13.
Okay.
She's not 12, she's 13.
40 years old, Katie Holmes today. Happy birthday. It's also Christina Aguilera's birthday today.
Talented.
She's 38.
And last I remember seeing her was on The Voice.
The Voice. That was, yeah. What's the, God, it's my guilty pleasure movie, The Cher.
Oh.
Burlesque.
Burlesque.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's horrible.
Is she in that?
Yeah, it's staggeringly horrible, but it's great.
All right.
I mean, and Cher literally looks like an animatronic version of Cher. You know who's hot? Preston. Kristen Bell is wearing a black wig throughout the burlesque.
Kristen Wiig's in that too?
Oh, yeah, that's her right there. That
Kristen, Kristen Bell, not Kristen Wiig.
Oh, Kristen Bell.
Yeah, Kristen Bell is wearing a wig.
Okay. All right. Well, happy birthday to Christina Aguilera. She's 38 today. Ray Liotta also has his birthday.
All right.
Ray doing his Chantic smoking commercials.
And we who do we have in here? What was the comedian who's worked with him? And I asked, does he wear eyeliner? Because it looks like he's always wearing eyeliner.
Oh, yeah.
He's,
all
right. I think he's got permanent. I think he's got tattooed
on?
Eyeliner.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, there's a new commercial. It's obviously, it's from the same day of filming that they did.
For Chia Ray Liotta?
No. It's for Chantix. He has had like some major work done, or Botox, or all of that stuff.
I see a little bit of it in his face, yeah. Not major, but anyway.
He's
had enough.
Okay.
Maybe it's just Botox or whatever. Like, I don't really know, but it's you can tell the Botox because his forehead doesn't move at all. From the eyebrows up, like, there is zero movement, and he looks it almost looks like he's in that the Lazy Town kids show.
Robbie Rotten?
Yes.
But you know what? Hey, he's an aging actor. And these guys, they
got to stay competitive.
They got to stay competitive, and it gets to them. And as long as you don't go, you know, Lisa Rinna crazy,
yeah, oh my God, yeah.
You can get away with some of it.
Stevie was Davidoff.
That's
Dov
it. Davidoff. Yes, yeah. Dov Davidoff.
He's on the Shades of Blue with Liotta.
That's it. The series is just actually canceled. It's the one with Jennifer Lopez.
Steve and I saw him in a stairwell over at NBC 10 one day.
Really?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, we were walking upstairs. He was walking downstairs. We were like, hey.
That's it. Purple shirt day.
Exactly. So he's 64 today. Wow.
That comment about like having to keep up with the other actors? Are you saying that I should get Botox?
I was pointing that directly at you. Right. Yes.
I was just wondering.
We're tired of hearing the what's happening with Kathy.
Well, I think you should just go down to four lines on your forehead.
If I go, I'm getting rid of all of them. They're all going.
If I go.
If I go, I'm going down.
And then the last birthday is Stone Cold Steve Austin, and that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
He's 54 years old today.
First time I saw was it Monday Night Raw?
Yeah.
And it was Stone Cold Steve Austin. At the height of his popularity, man, the guy was on top of the world.
And
what I
liked about him is his shtick was pretty simple.
His shtick was simple.
Loved him. Yeah, he didn't do a lot of big theatrics. He was just a badass, and that's all there is to it. So happy 54 to him. All right, we'll see if we can get an answer to our stupid question this morning in the movie Home Alone 2, Lost in New York. That's the wrong one. there's two different questions. All right, in Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, what is the actual name of the character played by Tim Curry? And it's not Brenda, okay? Let me go to...
Why did you cast me as Brenda?
Let me go to Kevin. Hey, Kevin, good morning.
Gadzooks.
Kevin, what is the name of Tim Curry's character?
God damn.
I believe it's Mr. Hector.
Mr. Hector, yeah. The other question...
Yes.
Was Brenda Fricker's character, the Pigeon Woman, is based on what character in the film Mary Poppins?
Is it Dick Van Dyke?
No, it's the Old Bird Woman. Yeah, I thought that was kind of a stupid question.
Yeah.
Okay, so Kevin got it right, and we're going to give him a pair of tickets to see John Oliver on December 31st, 10 p.m. at the Met. Some tickets remain at themetphilly.com. So we're going to start with Woody Allen, a model and actress named Bobby Christina. Is sharing her alleged story of an affair with Woody that began when she was 16 and included threesomes with him and his then-partner Mia Farrow.
So when I saw this story, Preston, a movie came to mind, the movie Manhattan.
Yeah, it's mentioned by a few people in social media comments.
In which he is involved. The movie at that time is a major release, critical favorite. It's him in his 40s, mid-40s, dating Mariel Hemingway, who's 16 in the movie.
The now 59-year-old tells the Hollywood Reporter that she caught the then 41-year-old's attention in October 1976 at watering hole Elaine's on the Upper East Side. After meeting, they became intimate a few weeks later. She says, "I was a pleaser, agreeable. Knowing he was a director, I didn't argue.
I was coming from a place of devotion, she says. Her brother Mike recalls Alan calling their parents' home in New Jersey. He said, I'd holler out, hey, Bobby, it's Woody. And my brain didn't think of something romantic. I was 11 or 12 and a huge fan. I mean, bananas. There were times, she said, the three of us were together, meaning him and Mia.
Hmm.
And it was actually great fun. We enjoyed each other when we were in the moment. She was beautiful and sweet. He was charming and alluring. And I was sexy and becoming more and more sophisticated in this game. She says, while we were together, the whole thing was a game that was being operated solely by Woody, so we never quite knew where we stood. I used to think this was a form of mother-father with the two of them. To me, that whole relationship was very Freudian. How I admired them, how he'd already broken me in, how I let that be all right. So I don't know what more she's saying about this. And
she says she actually fondly looks back on it as a form. And the way she's talking is like the Mariel Hemingway character in Manhattan.
Really?
Very prep school, very self-aware. This is must be where that was taken from.
Yeah, quite possibly.
I mean, and but listen, there are a scant few people that make me start to vomit in my mouth thinking about having sex. Woody Allen's in that list.
Yeah, yep. So she's telling her story, and, you know, obviously people are commenting on that in social media. We'll go move over to the royal family.
Yes. Can't get enough of the royals.
Oh, you're going to love this. Meghan Markle's estranged father, Thomas, is pulling out all the stops in a bid to get her to let him back into her life. The 74-year-old appeared on ITV's Good Morning Britain on Monday, explaining that he wanted to patch the rift between himself and the 37-year-old Duchess. And they haven't spoken since the night before her May wedding to Prince Harry. And he claims he's texted her every day since, in addition to writing letters and giving interviews pleading his case. He says he hasn't even received a Christmas card from Meghan.
No!
And he made a pitch via the interview to the Queen. He says, I would appreciate anything that she could do, meaning the Queen. I would think that she would want to resolve family problems.
Cut to a shot of the Queen sitting at a kitchen table with her hair up in curlers and the TV. Oh, dear God.
He said all families, royal or otherwise, are the same and they should all be together.
No, they're not.
No.
Certainly around the holidays. Thomas says he truly hopes that the pregnant Meghan will allow him to see his grandson. He says that would be very nice, and I look forward to that happening. I'm hopeful. I think it should happen.
Well, the funny thing is in this interview, Preston, he says he hasn't communicated or done, he's laid low for 6 months. That's a patent lie.
Yeah. He said, I think she'll make a great mom and maybe things will soften a little bit and we'll connect again.
Daddy!
There has to be a place for me. I'm her father and I will be the grandfather to the children. So all I can say is that I'm here. She knows it. I've reached out to her and I need her to reach back to me. I love her very much.
Why does he put on a raincoat, hold a boombox over his head and stand out in front of Buckingham Palace?
You could do that. Meanwhile, Harry has opted out of a traditional annual pheasant hunt in deference to Meghan's love of animals.
Harry!
The Daily Mail. I'll try it one more time.
That's him.
What scene is that from?
When they're by the lake and he says my hands are so cold and he goes my hands are sweating. I'm wearing two sets of gloves.
You had two sets of gloves the whole time.
And then he starts choking him and Jim Carrey's being choked. He goes, Harry, your hands are freezing. Harry. It's one of the funniest scenes in the movie.
So anyhow, he has opted out of the traditional annual pheasant hunt in deference to Meghan's love of animals. Sources tell the paper that this latest development will only deepen the alleged rift between Harry and his brother William.
Uh-oh.
The source says William sees this as another concerning example of his brother being pulled away from his family by his new wife.
And William just spent a wonderful weekend on the annual cat hunt.
The insider said Harry's always loved hunting and it has provided them with a great chance to bond as brothers. So
it's like, to me, listen, they can do other stuff. Can't they do indoor skydiving, Preston?
Yeah. It's a blast.
Yeah,
it's a great time.
There's other ways for brothers to bond, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but they've done it since they were kids together.
Yeah.
So,
and it is kind of a tradition in the day. And they cultivate the
There's
the
only
food.
One way to bond, Steve. They're killing birds.
Yes. Yeah.
There's
yeah.
only one
Bird
way.
Killing.
Yes. No, they make sure they serve up the animals. That would be...
And then they blow them up.
That would be not very favorable for the royal family.
Right,
they
yeah.
would just go out and kill
and leave them. And just throw in the garbage.
Listen, I've got a bizarre file story coming up later on of a guy killing all these deer, and we just keep the heads and leave the bodies to rot.
Really?
And,
oh,
it's hundreds. Horrible. It's crazy. Horrible.
It's stupid. But anyway, I don't think they would
keep
do that.
The ass.
Save the ass.
Save the ass. It's funny.
All right, so on a more serious note, Pete Davidson refused to see Ariana Grande when he showed up at 30 Rock after seeing him post a suicidal note on Instagram. We all know the story of that.
Yeah.
Sources tell the site that Davidson told security to refuse entry to his former fiancée. Mm. Now, on Saturday, he...
That's wild because she's hosted the show.
He appeared on the show briefly to introduce Miley Cyrus and in a pre-taped skit. And while on set, he reportedly refused to leave his dressing room during rehearsals. After the show wrapped, though, he and Machine Gun Kelly were seen leaving Rockefeller Plaza together. They were in an SUV.
I'm glad he left with Machine Gun Kelly.
Oh, dear God. And I looked this idiot up. No, of course. So, anyhow, yeah, this is another one who, if the career fails, he'll be ahead of HR.
I think I would be an asset to your accounting department.
That's right.
I'm sorry, I was reading your face.
Yeah. All right, so he's a face tattoo guy?
No, he's not. He just has that look.
His entire body, everywhere but his face. And listen, I'm not against tattoos at all, but he makes faces like this, Case.
Oh, stop. Yeah. Okay, so whatever.
Anyhow.
I make faces like that, too.
So, Kelly, yeah, here you go. There's right there. Kelly was among the crowd of celebs on social media sending out shout-outs to the troubled star. So, listen, he wants to help the guy out, which is cool.
Yes.
On Monday, Kelly responded to a fan who questioned...
I want you to read something on my back.
Why he flew to New York, tweeting, I absolutely got on that flight to come hold my boy down.
My boy.
Nice. Otherwise, I would have stayed in the studio until today. So he did. Now, on that, Lorne Michaels is reportedly sending Pete Davidson to treatment. A source close to the SNL creator said in a statement to the decision, he said the decision was taken to give Pete a break on Saturday night. His sketches were dropped before the early evening rehearsals. Lorne has pledged to help all he can, including sending Pete to get help. Everyone on the cast is hugely protective of him and were obviously upset, particularly Colin Jost and Michael Che on Weekend Update.
So the word is that Lorne Michaels is very paternal for to Pete Davidson.
Yeah.
He really likes the guy.
I really like the guy.
And so do I. And the guy's been dealt some tough... Listen, as a kid, he lost his dad in 9/11. His dad was a firefighter, yeah. You know, and that's got to traumatize the living hell out of you.
Sure.
So, yeah, and he deals with issues. I'd like to see him come through. But that was, anyone who had read that Instagram post would have said, this guy's seconds away from taking his life.
Yeah. You would hope that somebody like that would be able to see how the world is their oyster.
You think they would, but it's a different mindset, right?
I know.
Yeah.
I know. It doesn't matter how much you have. I mean.
But for us, it's so hard to understand when you see that outpouring of love, you know, like people coming to your aid. And then, from what I understand, I was reading a description of it. Then those people who are suffering it think, I'm making everyone worry.
Right.
And I'm even worse now because I'm making everyone worry.
And that compounds the
right,
whole thing.
Right, right.
Yeah. I would say, hey, listen, I mean, the fame and the money aside, you have a giant penis, bud.
That's the word. That's the word.
So, like,
if we can carry on.
Right.
Why not?
It's currently unclear where the SNL cast member will be staying for treatment. The gossip site reports that Davidson hasn't made plans to take much time off and could return to the set shortly after the new year. So we shall see. Jada Pinkett Smith is opening up about her struggles with mental health. On Monday's episode of her Facebook Watch series Red Table Talk, the 47-year-old opens up with her mother, Adrienne Benfield Jones, her 18-year-old daughter, Willow, and her guest, Kid Cudi.
Kid Cudi.
Is it Cudi?
Yeah, yeah.
Who's that?
I think he's a DJ, right?
Okay.
Could you check, Nick?
On her suicidal thoughts, which seemed to crest as she began to achieve critical success, says Jada of the breakdown that happened when she was 20, I had an emotional breakdown that definitely I felt like affected my mental stability. I became extremely suicidal. I had a complete emotional collapse. When you just don't have control over your emotions, your thoughts, you feel completely and utterly out of control.
So does Jada Pinkett Smith, Kathy, she's had some work, right? Take a look at her.
You know what? I mean, I don't know. She's not somebody, I think they all have, but she's not somebody I would look at.
Look at the mom.
She's not like Ray Liotta.
That's the mom. The mom looks like she's 30.
Oh, yeah. Her mother? Yeah. Well, we laughed about that before.
Yeah.
Jada says she moved to L.A. and found success with counterintuitively made her depression worse. She said, they put me on Prozac, and I was like 5 milligrams, but once it disrupted my sex drive, I said, look, that's the one thing I have in my life. And she said, and that thing, that's what got me off Prozac. They put me on it just so I could get to a place where I could talk about what was happening, where I could function.
So she'd been, I guess, in a relationship with Tupac Shakur.
Mm-hmm.
And then her world came crashing down when he got killed.
She said I was severely depressed, and that was something I battled for years. Waking up in the morning was the worst part of my day, she said.
That sucks.
Wow. She admits that turning to drinking and drugs at a certain point to combat depression is and anxiety. And she said, I was doing ecstasy because I wanted a party.
Oh, that's terrible.
I was doing ecstasy, weed, and a bottle of Cavassier.
If you have any inclination towards depression, anxiety, any of those things on the spectrum, ecstasy is probably the worst drug you can take.
Really?
Yeah, because it can mess with your brain chemistry and make those conditions much worse.
It just completely depletes your serotonin.
And it's wild, case. So those, you see the drugs that are supposed to fight depression, and then they say side effects may include feelings of suicide. Yeah. It's like, blah, 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 blah.
Well, I guess that's why you need to figure out what works for you. Yeah. I mean, it's not, there's no one easy fix. You need to talk to your doctor. And like anything else, it needs to be treated properly.
Yep. Nadia Sulman.
Oh, man.
Octomom.
Yeah. Kathy, your favorite.
Opened up to the New York Times about the reality of raising 14 children on her own. The 43-year-old, who now goes by Natalie, says her doctor misled her, telling that it was safe to implant 12 embryos. He has since lost his license.
12 embryos, please.
Yeah, he said, lost his license and left the U.S. She said, I have PTSD from all of the reporters coming in over the years.
Let's save that for servicemen and women.
She said, I would take whatever I could back in the days, and I would let them in. I was spiraling down a dark hole. There were no healthy opportunities for Octomom, she says.
Well, that porn opportunity, that was healthy.
Well,
I'm
she
sure.
discusses that. She says, I was doing what I was told to do and saying what I was told to say. When you're pretending to be someone you're not, at least for me, you end up falling on your own face. She also claims her manager forced her into pornography.
She fell on her own face. That explains it.
She said, I wanted to quit, but my manager said, if you do, I'm reporting you to welfare for fraud.
Hmm. Wait, now, who was she again? How did she become famous?
For having eight kids?
Just for the kids?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, there's a woman locally that had six. What? Like, I don't...
Well, it's not eight, Kathy.
But I'm just mean there was nothing else behind it other than that she had eight kids.
It hit at a time where whatever the news cycle was, it jumped out, got national attention. She had the eight kids, and then there was blowback against her for it, and then she started to try to make herself look like Angelina Jolie. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Kath, but this was at the time when in vitro and all that stuff was just starting to become commonplace, and so these multiples, these big multiples, were really just kind of starting to happen, at least in the public's eye.
And she had already had six.
And then eight was like, oh, are you serious? Somebody actually gave birth to eight babies?
Yeah.
She
chose to do that as well. Like, she could have.
Right.
She didn't have to keep all eight and decided to do it. And she also said that she didn't know that she was having eight at the time.
So, you remember the pregnancy shots, Preston? Mm-hmm. I mean, that is it. That's the largest pregnant belly I've ever seen.
So she had said she got forced into porn by her former manager. She said, I wanted to quit, but my manager said, if you do so, I'm reporting you to welfare fraud. I gave my bank account to her to control because I was so overwhelmed and busy managing my family. Checks that were forged, minimum $60,000 was stolen in 6 months, and she was selling stories left and right. She was a predator. So that's what she claims.
Kathy's looking at the
led her to pornography.
And she
the
had
pregnant belly.
There was no husband or boyfriend?
There was for a brief period. And then I guess he left the scene.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, though, the kids, we showed the picture of the family.
They all
look fine.
They all look healthy,
Mm-hmm. But the father was a sperm donor.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's see here. Lindsay Lohan has some unexpected plans for New Year's Eve.
I want to have 14 kids.
She and her younger sister, Allie Lohan, and singer Robin Thicke, Page Six reports, all getting together. Lilo is expected to introduce Allie's performance at the Marriott Marquis ahead of Thicke's scheduled concert. Lindsay is currently in New York City promoting her new MTV docuseries called Lindsay Lohan's Beach Club.
It's a great place to go out to the beach at fuzzy wedgie bars. It's wonderful.
And the party gets started on January 8th, it says?
They tried to make the young sister work, and they had, remember, a reality show with the mom trying to get her recording career going, and just, it didn't take.
Dude, mom seems to have ruined a lot.
She's ruined a lot.
Both parents.
Mom and dad, man.
And I'm sorry, Preston, the New Year's Eve party starts on January 8th?
I don't understand.
Yes, it's figured this way. We have the whole field to ourselves.
Yeah, so.
I mean, it's honestly, you can get any band you want.
Yeah.
Catering's a lot cheaper.
Times Square, man.
Times Square is like, is goddamn empty.
Yeah, so, yeah, this doesn't make
sense. It's called New Year's Rock, 8 days after New Year's.
8 days a week.
Yeah.
It says the party gets started January 8th.
So. We're burning this bitch down because it's right here, 8 days after New Year's.
Yeah, I know.
Now we're going to go to a live closed circuit feed to Australia as they ring in 8 days after New Year's.
Happy 8th day after New Year's.
Looks kind of quiet, doesn't it?
It's kind of just like a Tuesday.
Look at this feed here at Sydney. It doesn't look like there's much going on.
Yeah. So we'll see how that party goes for
And now it's Hong Kong.
Lindsay, it's what?
Hong Kong.
Hong Kong.
Don't you speak English?
I thought you said Hong Kong.
Hong Kong. Well, she's that.
Hong Kong.
Sorry, I had a little Scotch this morning.
That's okay. Hey, Jeff Bridges will be lauded at the 2019 Golden Globe Awards.
He deserves to be.
The Big Lebowski, Crazy Heart, and True Grit star will receive the Cecil B. DeMille Award on January 6, 2019 at the Golden Globes. Bridges received his first Golden Globe nomination in 1984 for his role in Starman, and previous honorees have included Robert De Niro, Audrey Hepburn, and Jodie Foster, among others.
Just watched Crazy Heart again earlier this week. And, well, at the end of last week, two things about that movie. A, I just realized that Crazy Heart is a lyric in the song.
Yeah, the really
leery kind.
The one that he writes at the end, yeah.
Secondly, when he loses Buddy, like, kind of wasn't his fault. You know what I mean? Like, he only looked away for 20 seconds.
Look, though, you had a guy who is unreliable to begin with. He should have been on his best game.
Yeah, yep. Well, listen, you got to watch it again. He orders. Yeah, gets him a little ginger ale.
A churro.
He takes one little sip of his scotch, and I'm not making excuses for the guy. And then he says to Buddy, "Hey, Bud, here's your ginger ale," and then he's gone.
Yeah,
like that. Kind of wasn't his fault. Buddy was a little crap.
Okay.
Yeah.
Casey's take on Crazy Heart. So.
Watch Jeff it again.
This just in. Local broadcaster Casey Boy has a different take on Crazy Heart. He's sticking up for the alcoholic.
Not necessarily sticking up for the alcoholic, but you know.
Well, it doesn't matter, but it's what he needed. He was going to die had that not happened.
I know, I agree with you.
Saved his life.
And it saved his life. In fact, I think that might be more the point to the story.
Maybe that's why he did it, to get him in trouble to save his life.
right, exactly. I did it on purpose.
I did it on purpose. You little bastard. You got me.
All right. Gretchen Carlson, Breaking the Silence, has shared a first look at the documentary. The two-hour special is part of a three-part series that Carlson and A&E have teamed up on. This first one airs January 14th, 8 p.m., and in it, Carlson travels to the country to interview ordinary women and help them tell their stories of sexual harassment and abuse. In addition to revealing stories of alleged harassment at McDonald's, she tells her own story of allegedly being abused by the late Roger Ailes at Fox News as well.
Yes.
So she will cover some of that. And that's
coming up. Gretchen, come in here. I've got some ribs.
I don't want to.
I just took them. They're still hot. I don't want you to eat them, and then I'm going to fart in your face.
I'd prefer to stay out of here.
Have it your way.
So maybe they'll cover that scenario in the documentary.
Imagine we'll if they do.
Fart in your face.
Let's see. Taron Egerton, Anya Taylor-Joy, and Nathaniel Emmanuel have signed on to lend voices to the cast of Dark Crystal: Age of Resistance.
Interesting.
Helena Bonham Carter, Mark Hamill, and Andy Samberg will also lend their voices to the Jim Henson reboot.
Were you a fan of the original?
I never did get caught up in it, no.
I liked it.
I know people love it.
Yeah. I liked what they achieved. You're right, Preston. There are people who are fanatic about it. I think it's good. I just don't think it's great.
It was fun to watch when you were stoned in college.
Okay. It is set to join Netflix.
Gretchen, come in here. I'm going to put Dark Crystal on the Blu-ray. I'm going to eat ribs. I'm going to fart in your face.
Maybe you are, girlfriend.
I'll be right in.
Oh, finally you got
Dark Crystal.
If she's Dark Crystal, you did it. Okay.
Love that movie.
I have it on VHS.
Netflix is also
on the Betamax.
Has also released the first images from Dark Crystal. They just put those out Monday. Speaking of Netflix, the conventional wisdom that flagging theatrical attendance can be blamed on the growing popularity of streaming services are false, according to a new study.
Liars!
EY's Quantitative Economics and Statistics Group found that people who go to theaters more frequently also consume more streaming content. Conversely... Yeah.
A liar.
Half of the people who didn't go to a theater in the past year also didn't stream anything online.
So it's not killing. Yeah. It's the way they used to say that television would kill movies. Remember, right. That was the big fear.
Yeah.
And actually, there was a brief period, and then movies came back much more robust.
Multiplexes.
There you go.
It used to be, you know, you'd see one movie at a movie theater, and then they started building these huge multiplexes, and with TV as popular as it was, still people flocked to the movie theaters. The message here, according to the director of media and research, said that there's not a war between streaming and theatrical.
Streaming didn't kill the movie star.
People who love content are watching it across platforms, and all platforms have a place in consumers' minds. So it's not killing the movie theaters, which is great.
If you give
people love going to the movie
theater. And if you give people a reason to do so.
Yeah.
They will.
I wish I could have gone to see Aquaman last
night. So do
I. You know, but...
I was getting a mani-pedi.
No, my dad's in town, so he wasn't into going.
You couldn't convince him to go?
Is your
dad into any of that?
No, not the superhero stuff. But I tell you what, my dad doesn't watch movies that often, so we've been showing him all the movies that he should have seen by now.
Like what?
Right now.
What have you done so far?
We watched Sully.
What do you think?
Oh, he loved it.
Yep.
We watched 13 Days, which is one of my favorite movies. About
solid the movie.
Cuban Missile Crisis.
Yeah.
So he likes, you know, true story stuff. So we watched, last night we watched Argo.
Argo. A lot of fun.
It's a good movie.
You know what? There's some laughs in that, too.
There is.
Do you know it's a great movie? Well, the documentary, it's the Chappaquiddick.
I have not seen it
yet.
It's
really well done. Really well done.
Okay, all right.
The actor from Everest is in it, and you've seen him. He's playing. He does a great job. And Ed Helms is great as Teddy Kennedy's friend.
Yeah. So you're basically showing him biopics.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then there was another one. What else? What did we watch?
All right. What's the one about the Olympics? The guys getting taken hostage.
Munich.
Munich. That's it.
You know what? I never did see Munich.
Munich is great. That's a Spielberg film.
Spielberg. So I might show him the King's Speech, which is a great movie, too.
Okay.
And Gary Oldman as Churchill. What was the name of that?
I still haven't seen that yet. Yeah, Darkest Hour?
Yes.
Yeah. Darkest Hour, yeah.
I got to see that.
Hell or High Water's a good one that you could show him.
Hell or High Water's great. One Crazy Summer.
They're all one Crazy Summer.
Are you telling me this happened?
Let me tell you a story, man. A little boy.
That's it. That's Teddy Kennedy.
I should like to beat him up so fat. So, no, we didn't see Aquaman.
Okay.
We're watching other films this week, which is great.
You couldn't sell that as a docu.
No.
Docudrama.
Sky
lives under the sea. As you know, you can't eat hot dogs if you live in an underwater city because they'll expand and kill you.
All right.
That sounds like gibberish, son.
What are you looking for, Casey?
No, I'm not looking for anything, Preston. I was
going to go on to the clips, and I need you, but I know what you're going
for.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me tell you a story about a little fat boy that nobody loved, and that all the other kids, they used to make fun of him, and they would pick on him, and then they used to say that he talked funny and stuff. And they had a twin brother, and everybody said they didn't look anything like his twin brother, but he wanted to.
Egg, were you the little fat boy?
No, but I just like to beat him up. You know, I got my go. Why are you so fat? Why are you so fat? And I beat the shit out of him.
That's a good biopic.
It doesn't sound like Kennedy.
Bobcat Goldthwait. All right, I'm ready for clips now. I can't believe we just played that clip. So random. The guest book travels to a different vacation home each season, telling the stories of all the unique guests. Here, Carly Gibson talks about
what?
How relatable and heartwarming each character's experience is during their stay. Here is the clip.
I think it's the thing that's going to shock people the most. Their stories are really beautiful. There's some really relatable things in there. But it's, I just think people are going to be shocked by it. It's equally as funny as it is relatable and full of heart. Greg really had something to say this year, and it's really amazing.
Is this a reality show?
It's a reality show.
No,
we're
it's
looking
not.
At a,
like, I'm looking at Murph. Is,
no, it's not. Wait. That's
oh,
the guest
no, it's
book.
Not.
Okay.
I thought, because I was looking at people that look like reality characters, but this looks scripted now that we're looking at it.
Yes, it says that they travel to different vacation homes each season, telling the stories of unique guests. So it looks like it's scripted, yes. So
I like Carl. She's cute, Carly Rae Jepsen, right? She had that song, the hit, what was the name of that freaking song?
This is maybe. No, this is, yeah. Hang on. Yeah. This is Carly Gibson,
oh.
Not Carly Rae Jepsen.
I thought that's who we were talking
no,
about.
No, it's Carly Gibson.
Well, you just totally crushed everything.
Sorry, it's not a reality show, and it's not Carly Rae
wow.
Jepsen.
Hey. All right.
I just
I'm
going to
go watch Bob Goldthwait. But Chappaquiddick.
A new episode of the guest book airs tonight.
And this is nothing to offer me now. You just ripped everything that I was interested in from this.
10:30 on TBS. Next clip. Vox Lux tells the story of a young music prodigy who transforms into a pop star trying to get back on the rise after personal struggles. Here, Natalie Portman talks about how special this role was for her.
I felt like this character was just unlike anyone I had seen on screen before, but also someone that felt like a real person. It was just fun to get to be so, like, extravagant, vulgar, and wild, and unpredictable.
I don't give a f***.
Vox Lux is in theaters now, by the way. And there you go. That's what I have for you, your entertainment report. All right, we will take a break. We got a lot of things to give away today. Christmas Miracle Invites. We'll do those in a few minutes, as well as our friends at Yards Brewing. Stop by. We'll have some stuff to send to you. Back in just a moment. Stay with us on this Tuesday morning.
What are you doing here?
The one thing we know how to do. MMR rocks.
I got bronchitis.
All right, Preston, do me a favor. Turn all the microphones off for about half a second, then turn them back on again.
Really?
Yeah, this way we can get Kathy's audio a little bit quicker. Otherwise, we have to wait like 7 minutes.
Oh, I didn't
know
that.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
3, 2, 1, and radio boom. Silence
okay.
Over. There you go.
Right. So Kathy kind of sounded like the ladies' man from Saturday Night Live for a second.
All right, it's here.
I missed it. All right, so Marissa's going to grab it
all
now,
right.
So it's going to take
do
a moment.
Do you have a cold, Kathy?
You
sound a little congested.
Yeah, I have. It's like in my throat and chest, yeah. And I don't have a sore throat, so I'm really hoping that I don't have strep like Nick.
You'll get it just in time for the Christmas miracle.
Well, you know what? I'm just hoping, like Casey said, I think people who get strep throat are more susceptible to it.
You've had it?
Jace had it a couple years ago, and I never got it, so I'm just hoping that I can fight it off.
Well,
all right.
Thank God you sound like the ladies' manthy.
The ladies' manthy. All right, Marissa's working on isolating that. In the meantime, I'm going to sing to you guys.
Ooh,
oh,
yeah.
Really?
Oh,
that's exciting.
I got an email from Sarah Garvey, and she lives in Florida, listens to the Preston and Steve show, and she heard the conversation about either the Joker got away or the Joker did ballet.
Right.
Or took ballet or whatever it is. And she has, by the way, she said, I realize I've been living with a monster who thinks that it's took ballet.
Oh, my God.
And now our marriage is in a
monster.
Shambles.
Of course it is. How could you live with someone like that?
Although he recently converted to being an avid podcaster, so I suppose
right.
We'll forgive him.
There's
she says.
Hope.
But she wrote a Preston and Steve show Jingle Bells.
Yeah, you'd ask to see if someone would do it. We thought we'd gone through most of them.
Some of them are cute.
Yeah.
This one's well done.
Really?
So I'm going to sing for you.
All right.
I don't need musical accompaniment. Do you think I should?
Do you want one of those a cappella?
No. Casey's got the... Oh, a pitch pipe?
Yes.
No, I don't need a pitch pipe.
Well, I don't know which one would actually be better for you.
Do we have an instrumental version? Not the... I see Jingle Bells by Skid Row. They did a version of Jingle Bells. God. Right here? No. I'm just going to sing it for you. Here we go. It goes, Dashing to the Snow?
Yeah. Jingle Bells.
Oh, this takes it from the
Jingle Bells?
Yeah, this takes it from the chorus.
All right.
All right, so it goes, like Batman.
Like Batman. Yeah, exactly. Batman smells.
All right. Jingle bells, let's quote Nell, what you say, Jose. PNS on MMR is a great to start a great start to your day.
Hey!
Thank you.
Oh, wait, I got a better one.
Hey! No. Let me start again. Jingle bells, let's quote Nell, what you say, Jose. PNS on MMR is a great to start your day.
Hey!
Snacks for Nick, McCarthy sick, Steve loves all his toys. Preston strums on the guitar, and then there's Casey Boy.
Hey!
20 years ago, on good old DRE, Steve and Preston found a place to do their comedy. Now 20 years have passed, they're still having a ball. The show may say Preston and Steve, but Marissa runs it all.
Hey!
Oh!
Hey, tattoo sharts, jars of farts, camp out Shamoween, Kathy's fall activities are the best I've ever seen. Thank you. Connoisseur, junk drawer, MMR all day. Listening is a privilege in a one horse open. No, she was a dancer.
Jeez, oh my God.
Wow.
Added that in there.
That's damn good. She added that in there. So, Sarah, job well done. That was nice.
That deserves something. Yeah. If only we had an address or if she could contact us.
We can get in touch with her, but I don't know what we can get her, but we can work on something. So I love that. No, she was a dancer. Jake's, oh, my God. He actually wrote that in there. So nice job. All right, let's talk about porn.
Yes.
Right.
End of year. It's a big topic on everybody's minds.
Pornography. The most searched term on online pornography, this is according to Pornhub and YouPorn.
By the way, Pornhub sells their data for all sorts of researches.
Yeah.
Okay.
They have an extensive database that they can cross-reference because, as you would imagine, it's used a lot.
By the way, these sites, which combined have approximately 40 billion yearly visits.
Is that incredible?
Recently released their annual reports detailing users' viewing and search habits. And I'm going to have you guys guess what
the number one
is.
All right.
The number one searched term of online pornography. Anybody want to guess?
The number one searched term in all of online pornography.
According to these two sites, but these are the biggest sites, so they have,
I have a guess. A multiple word term?
Yeah.
Amateur.
Amateur?
All right. Oh, I was going to wait for Steve to guess.
Okay.
Go ahead. Because I have a guess.
Go ahead, please.
Okay. this bothers me, by the way. Is it mother, son?
Go ahead. I'm going to have you guys all guess,
Kathy?
And then I'll tell you.
I don't know.
Just guess the porn term.
Felching?
Yes.
Kathy,
penis?
Tell Preston what you just wrote down, Kathy.
Kathy wrote down felching.
I'm sure she wrote down something disgusting.
Filthy.
Uh-huh. You want to guess?
MILF?
Doesn't matter if you're wrong or not.
Yeah.
No, you guys are all wrong. It's lesbian.
Lesbian. Oh, hey! The old standards.
Yeah. Yeah, it's old school.
I like a good lesbian song.
Hey, everybody, it's Tony Bennett.
Hey, I got to say, when I'm searching Pornhub, I go straight for the lesbos. I love them. So romantic.
I left my
under the mistletoe.
I had no idea.
Carpet for everyone. You know what, though? You would have to think of a broad-based topic.
Yes.
I mean, I don't mean broad-based as in broad.
Not broad as in
but
female.
A broader topic. so that I guess that would make sense. MILF would be a subdivision.
So they found that
mother-son would be a subdivision.
I don't like that. I don't. A friend of mine was telling me that it always shows up on the home screen of the site that he goes to. And it's like, why? And it's never really a mother and her son.
No, it's not.
What?
I'm sorry, Steve. I'm sorry, Tony. I broke your heart.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Wait a second.
Yeah.
You seen they're not actually mother-son?
No. You've been living a lie.
Just crashing down on top of me.
I'm sorry, man.
I was enjoying the love that only a mother and son could share under the kitchen table while Dad wonders what's going on.
Dad is sitting across from him having breakfast.
Why the gravy boat is shaking so furiously. That's real love.
Yes.
Under the table.
Yeah.
While the son's girlfriend is across the table wondering why Mom's giving him a handy.
And a lot of times it's a glass table. And how can
he not see that?
How can he
not
see
that? I don't
care
how big your centerpiece is. Eventually you're going to see someone's ass.
Ben, it's gross. So anyway,
away from the mother-son thing and getting into what the details of this.
Away from the mother-son thing.
So anyhow, but listen, Casey, everybody's got all kinds of fantasies. And in fact, it goes into some of the details of why, even though someone, it's like when Big J, Bert Kreischer, is like, you see the stuff you look up on porn? It's some stuff you would never, ever, ever consider in real life. So, you know, it's fantasy.
Okay.
So anyway, it doesn't mean that you're attracted to your mom.
No.
So they found that lesbian was the top search term among women on both platforms, by the way.
And by the way, their statistics on women frequenting Pornhub is high. Because I remember there was some, maybe it was the Kinsey Institute or one of them used Pornhub for some information. And the division, it's almost like 55% men and, you know.
Yeah. No, not quite.
What is it?
It is 30%.
Real?
Female women comprise approximately 30% of both sites. So they found that while lesbian was the top search term among women on both, among men, the term was the sixth most popular on Pornhub and the 10th most popular on YouPorn.
Interesting.
But you add it all together and then you get that as the top.
One big bundle.
So women who comprise approximately 30% of both sites' viewers were 151% more likely to watch lesbian videos.
Where do you stand? Prefer that. Where do you stand on lesbian videos if your friend is watching, let's say?
Oh, I don't know.
It's not my thing.
Sure. I love it.
I mean, it's okay. I love it. I like, you know, I want to be a little bit more participatory in the fantasy.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
you can definitely do that.
We all know what Gary likes.
Yes. Daisy chains.
Daisy chain.
You know what I like.
That's correct. And in fact, it says here, as for men's interest in lesbian adult content, Timmery Schmidt, a sexuality researcher and host of a podcast called Sex with Timmery, said that it may involve several different factors. They are desiring a view of a sexual experience in which they cannot, by definition, take part.
Interesting.
So it has this voyeuristic, naughty, fantastical element. Additionally, Schmidt said that some men prefer not to have any male performers' bodies in the pornography that they consume as well.
She's saying the reason I get so turned on is because I don't have a vagina.
It removes anxieties about comparing their size and body composition or even their own homophobic reactions, she said.
Huh.
And for viewers who are turned on, or I'm sorry, who are turned off by violence and aggression by men against women, it removes the threat of that trigger. When discussing,
all seem like valid points.
It says, when discussing lesbian scenes on mainstream pornography platforms, Schmidt stressed that they are very different in terms of content and aesthetic than the films that are made for and by queer women, as opposed to lesbian scenes that are supposed to make attract men.
Attract men. What are they? What is the difference for lesbian films made by queer women?
It just says that there are differences. Huh. It doesn't go into detail about that. Now, the search term trans saw significant gains in 2018, according to Pornhub, which has published an annual insights report for the past 6 years. The site found that 167% year-over-year increase for the term among men and a 200% increase among people over the age of 45.
It's a lot of fun when you have to guess.
In fact, Pornhub noted that the search...
I went into it thinking it was a chick.
That these...
I think... here's another case. So let's say you're not particularly... It's not you, but you're interested. So you might go look... You might just to see what it's like. Or just to check it out.
Yeah.
And I wonder how many in the trans community are themselves consuming this porn. Do you know what I'm saying? Do they break down the stats on that? Is it mostly just people who are not, or is it a predominant portion of people who are transgender?
It doesn't say anything about that. It just says that men and women, it splits them up, doesn't talk about their orientation or identification. So, in fact, Pornhub noted that the search term trans was the fifth most popular among visitors between 45 and 64 among all search terms. Trans came in 23rd on Pornhub and 16th on YouPorn. When exploring trends around gay pornography and gay entertainers specifically, Pornhub found that three of the top five adult entertainers searched by women were gay men. And a report by Pornhub found that women were responsible for more than a third of the site's gay male porn views.
It's a holiday miracle. Tony Bennett's Pornhub Christmas.
And
let's get started with belching.
We're going to start
here. I saw Mommy Filching Santa.
Oh my God.
At my advanced age, I can say whatever I want, and no one will stop me.
Yes, this is true.
Unshackled from the confines of social mores, I can let loose in a wonderland of perversion and disgust.
It calls to
Tony Bennett.
My most provocative holiday special ever.
Oh, my God.
Let's start with
featuring Delta. Peter North.
Peter North Pole.
Peter North Pole.
Oh, dear.
Absolutely.
Lord. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I think it's time to hold art, you know, pornography at a higher standard. And I'm talking about filmmaking and.
You want more big budget directors.
Well, listen.
You want Michael Bay.
I need it to be a little bit more believable. All right. I don't need
Transformers.
I don't need running commentary. Like when you're watching a movie and there's a bank robbery, the guy's not going, "Hey man, I got a gun to your face, man. Hey.
Yeah.
You know, you like that, don't you? Oh, put that. Oh yeah, that's right. Put that money."
Because
in the
that's
bank.
Not part of a normal bank robbery.
Yeah. Exactly. But that's not part of the normal. At least as far as I'm concerned.
No, I agree. There are.
But there was that trend in porn for a while, Case, where like there was big budget porn, you know, where they would spend a lot of money, not quite, you know, the top of Hollywood level, but there was a 2 or 3 year stretch where they would have high, big budget porn film. And I was just like, to me, that's kind of a waste.
Nick and Preston and Casey.
And Kathy.
What?
Mostly Kathy. There was a time when you would have to use the fast forward button.
Oh, yes.
To get through a meandering plot line where they were trying to make substantive films with dialogue and actual stories. I remember one that was basically an Of Mice and Men sort of deal with a guy and his slower brother.
Wow.
And I mean, it was they were trying and, you know, but it just.
So that stupid storyline doesn't take place anymore.
No.
No. In fact, it's
If
what there, do they call
if,
it?
If there's a story, it's called Gonzo.
Gonzo.
If there's a story, it's real short. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's not, oh my God. That's not how you do it. You do it like this.
Yeah, it's usually.
You're not a pizza delivery man.
Kathy, it's usually just role playing.
For like a minute.
A scenario.
Yeah. Okay.
A scenario as opposed to.
Right.
Wait a second. That's not how you do it.
A story.
Let Tony show you.
Tony show you.
Let me pretend this is a trolley car. Just like in my sweet San Francisco. Now it always stays on the track. You see what I'm saying? Back and forth. Back and forth. Sometimes you get on, and sometimes you get up. Sometimes you face forward and sometimes you face backwards.
So, Casey, you want to sit down for an hour and a half and you want to see several scenes along with a story that goes in between that and ties it all together.
That's not
you
what
you want
I'm
more
saying.
Bank robbers.
Right, then what do you, well, I don't understand.
What I'm saying is in regular cinema and plays and stuff like that, you don't see people giving a running commentary of what they're doing. Right?
That's one thing we don't have, though. You just brought up a good point. Yeah. We don't have Broadway porn plays.
But not all of it. You know what you need to do? You need to look up, I think, there are categories of porn for women.
Yes.
That's what you want.
Yeah?
That's probably what you want.
In the porn, though, you know what? You're right, because in the porn industry, in fact, the most powerful people within the porn industry are women now, because they'll direct and write and do the whole thing. But
they're the stars, too.
They're the stars, too. So there was a whole series of films, Preston, that really made a ton of money that were like pirate adventures and things of that nature.
Well, do you remember? I think the one was called Pirates.
Yes.
Well, and that was, because we had Sonny Leone who was in here, and she was mentioning that. And that was one of the last big budget ones ever made, because you know what? It doesn't make any money.
Exactly.
People don't buy them.
What happens is those films get chopped up to the sex scenes, and they end up on Pornhub.
Yep, exactly.
By the way, my friend has no problems finding what he likes. It's just that every now and again, something might pop up, and
you want more bank robbers.
He just shakes his head like, this is just dumb. This is dumb. Shut up. You know, whatever you're saying is so dumb.
Do you leave the sound up?
I often...
Does your friend leave the sound
my
up?
My friend often will turn it down. It's like, I don't...
My friend turns it down all the time.
Yeah.
He looks a lot like me.
Pornhub, by the way, which boasts an average of 92 million daily viewers.
Oh, my God.
92 million.
That's more than Cat on a Roomba.
That's amazing.
included a number of additional pieces of data. Stormy Daniels was the most searched porn actress this year.
Wow.
Sunday is the highest traffic day of the week, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Sabbath.
Mm-hmm. This is Sabbath.
Son of a bitch.
Yep. You're not supposed to work. What else are you supposed to do? The Philippines has the highest portion of female visitors worldwide.
The Philippines? Why would that be?
I don't know. And the Philippines.
They got coconuts.
By the way, the Philippines is a staunch Catholic society.
Is the Philippines mostly Catholic?
Very, very much so, yeah. And more people voted for Pornhub Hub videos in 2018 than voted in the last presidential election.
There you go.
I wonder how much porn visitation, does it break it down across the country and what is...
I don't have that.
You had that at one point, and Steve, the number one state was Utah.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah. And it, you know, and this was a study that you had maybe a year or two ago, Preston, and it was because it's you're allowed to go to Pornhub in the safety of your own bedroom, but you can't do it in society.
Hmm. Okay, I can see that. Yep, I know what
it's
you're talking
crazy,
about.
It's crazy, isn't it?
It's nuts, man. They should move to San Francisco.
They won't even let them drink coffee.
How do they know the gender of the people going to these sites?
It's all dudes.
There are people that register on these sites.
Oh, okay.
I want to make sure they have my data. I want to become a member.
Well, some people comment on the videos. Some people share. Some people turn it into a community.
Great sex scene, but more bank robberies, please.
There are playlists and things like that that people can set up. So, believe it or not.
Yeah, when
people sign up for these things.
Right. There's a community there.
It's a sense of community. I know. It's like being home, right?
I want to be in that community.
Yeah.
San Francisco.
The community I like being in is Clear History. That's my favorite community.
Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
So, anyhow, these are the stats of the year. Yes, Casey.
It sounded like you were wrapping up the conversation.
Do you want to continue it?
No.
Okay, I'll wrap it up then.
No. Okay. We'll talk about this off air.
Nice Christmas bow.
But we have the. Are you wrapping up the conversation?
Yeah.
Okay. Just play it.
We have the ladies' man thing. Kathy's.
So at the top of the break, there was traffic. We did traffic with Kathy, and Casey and Kathy started laughing. The rest of us completely missed something. I think I was just prepping for the next break.
It's a very, very little
flub.
It's a quick flub.
It's very little.
I want to hear it.
I heard it and felt it, and I kind of like started to chuckle a little bit, and nobody made any reaction except for Casey.
All right, here we go. Kathy, what do you have for us this morning?
95 southbound jams from Cottman through to Allegheny. The left center lane blocked with a disabled vehicle. The Vine westbound slow the 8th to Broad Street. Northbound 95.
That was it.
Play it again.
I didn't even hear it that time.
I know.
That's so funny.
What do you have for us this morning?
95 southbound jams from Cottman through to Allegheny. The left center lane blocked with a disabled vehicle. The Vine westbound slow the 8th to Broad Street. Northbound 95.
That was it. You just slowed
that
down
was
on
it.
8th.
Okay. I didn't.
Wow.
I don't hear anything.
I totally caught it the first time.
And I felt it when I said it.
Oh, my God. I still can't even hear it. I can't hear the flub the first time I did, though. That's weird.
Wow. Okay. Anyhow,
it was funny.
Yeah,
was
like
funny.
An extra little
thank you, Tony. Thank you.
It was funny. That was good stuff.
Thank you for bailing us out of that. Keisha, you know what? I need to do this. I know we have a meet and eat, and I'm going to do some giveaways in a little while with our friends who are here this morning. We have Yards Brewing and Bernie's Restaurant and Bar and Mike's York Street Bar and Grill, and we'll do some giveaways in a little bit. But I need to do Christmas Miracle because it's on Thursday. Ooh. So I'm going to start taking designated callers. I've usually done, you know, like first five callers or whatever, but I'm going to take callers 25, 26, 27 at 215-263-WMMR, and you will be able to join us Thursday morning for the Christmas Miracle at Parks Casino. Miller Lite Ugly Sweater Edition. Wear your ugly sweaters because you could win beer for a year from Miller Lite. And Marissa has the final pre-party for the Miller Lite Ugly Sweater portion of our broadcast. It is tonight at Blue Cross River Rink. She'll be there from 8 till 10. And if you stop by, you might have a chance to join us. She's going to have 10 pairs of passes to give away to be at the Christmas Miracle broadcast.
That sort of allows you the opportunity to cut ahead of the people calling in because they'll only, I mean, hopefully it'll be a nice attendance, but still it won't be as big as the full listening audience. So head on down.
Yeah. So keep that in mind. And Excuse me. One more thing. You know, we should also probably tease a few of the things that we're going to be giving away.
Yes.
On Thursday morning, too, just to give you an idea, because we're excited about the prizes. So we'll try to get that. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back in a second. We'll have the bizarre file when we return. Make sure that you stay with
93.3 WMMR proudly presents the return of Preston and Steve's Christmas Miracle Miller Lite Ugly Sweater Edition. This Thursday at the brand new Excite Center inside Parks Casino in Bensalem. A live broadcast with 250 super fans in the audience, each out to prove their Preston and Steve IQ in a game show style throwdown. At stake, the best and biggest giveaways of the year, plus a pile of fabulous prizes from our favorite sponsors and advertisers.
The Philly Pops, Keswick Cycle, the Philly Home Show, and Xfinity.
Preston and Steve's Christmas Miracle, Miller Lite Ugly Sweater Edition at Parks Casino. Get lucky in no time. Listen to claim your spot in the studio audience. Details at WMMR.com.
Oh, it's a Christmas miracle.
Christmas is a fun time. It is a fun time every December. It is also a joy month. I like this holiday a lot.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Christmas is a fun time to get gifts. People stay home for the holidays. They spend time with their children. That's what it is all about.
Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas.
Christmas makes people feel right at home. Christmas gives me harmonization. Christmas is Jesus Christ's birthday. That's what it is all about in the mix.
Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. Christmas.
Rock over London, rock on Los Angeles, all state, you're in good hands.
Now, more with Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Been playing that song from Wesley Willis for 20 years now. And Merry Christmas.
I love it.
We got some good stories for you. Let's get to them now.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And this morning is brought to you by Delilah's Unwrapped. Delilah's Holiday Spectacular is Wednesday. And it features DJ Kim Lee, Delilah's Sexy Santa Contest, and more. You can visit Delilah's.com for more of the details. Well, a Florida woman wound up in jail after she reportedly demanded that her boyfriend have sex with her and then allegedly threw a paint roller at him after he refused. Lori Ann Carroll was arrested on charges of battery and three counts of resisting an officer without violence following the incident. Sheriff's deputies were called out to Carroll's address at around 3 a.m. and they were told by her boyfriend that they had been arguing all night because Carroll wanted to have sex and he didn't. The boyfriend told officers that Carroll continuously tried to have sex with him, even though he told her several times that he wanted to be left alone. So he left to go to a bar, get away from Carroll. And when he returned, she said that his girlfriend began arguing about having sex again. Carroll reportedly demanded that he start fooling around with her, but he refused, again telling her he wasn't in the mood.
I don't want to. You smell like burnt rubber.
He says that's when Carroll hit him in the chest and groin and then threw a paint roller at his head. In the affidavit, deputies reported that Carroll was obviously intoxicated and uncooperative with officers. The 41-year-old was arrested, and she was taken to the county jail.
You know, cops respond to stories like this all the time.
Yes, they do. Here's that story I was teasing earlier. It seems the punishment sometimes fits the crime. A guy named David Berry Jr. was one of three men from a southwest Missouri family convicted in the illegal killing of several hundred deer over 3 years, taking their heads and leaving their bodies to rot.
So what was he doing with the heads?
I don't know. After pleading guilty, Berry Jr. was sentenced to 1 year in jail in Lawrence County, as well as 120 days in jail in a nearby county for felony firearms probation. Also, as part of his sentence, he is to view the Walt Disney movie Bambi, with the first viewing being on or before December 23rd, and at least one such viewing thereafter every month.
Yeah, so he has, like that.
He has to watch Bambi every month. while he remains in jail. So yeah. It's not just that. Yeah. The 1942 animated movie depicts the mother of the title character Bambi being killed by hunters.
Spoiler alert.
I don't think that's going to fix his problem.
No. He butchered a bunch of deer and cut their heads off
and threw away
the bodies.
Yeah, I don't know if they were, you know, mounting the heads and then selling them. I have no idea.
It's possible.
He did. Steve, you showed us this video yesterday. A teenage boy died after he jumped off an apartment block while wearing a homemade parachute, which failed.
Man. Homemade parachute.
Yeah, those words should pretty much trigger that it's going to be a disaster. Bogdan Firzov even had his mother by his side supporting him as he stood at the top of the high-rise building in Ukraine for his daredevil stunt. But the 15-year-old's parachute failed to open properly, and the boy plummeted to the ground and suffered fatal injuries.
I watched another video, another angle of it, Preston. There were some people across the street on the other side of a bunch of stores. When he falls behind the stores, and they're a good distance away, you can hear whap.
The teenager had previously taken selfies on rooftops in the eastern Ukrainian city of Makivka and was a self-confessed adrenaline junkie. He was filmed in his final moments as he stood at the top of the 14-story building with his arms outstretched, a friend on the ground, filmed the fall, but also captured the parachute failing to unfurl during the 140-foot drop.
I mean, it's sad, but how stupid.
Yeah, an eyewitness said a crowd of people was there and nobody tried to stop him. They only filmed.
His mother flew
down and hit the ground with his back. It was really tough. Other relatives joined the boy's mother in watching, filming, and photographing the horror in jump for which he used a homemade parachute. They appeared to be encouraging him and cheering him on, according to police. Experts said, though, even a full working parachute would not have saved him. The lowest possible height for a jump with a parachute is 70 meters, a building of at least 25 stories. This is only 14 stories high.
He would have had an issue regardless.
And even then, it would have been a dangerous jump. The boy wore a helmet, and there was padding on the ground below, but he died instantly.
I got a helmet on.
Terrible story. Yep. While the Memphis Tigers basketball team took on the No. 3 Tennessee Volunteers, a man at the sold-out FedEx Forum took care of a No. 2 and was subsequently arrested. A security guard was making her way from a stairwell and saw the man, later identified as 46-year-old Royce Thomas Lottles, squatting behind a concession stand. She went over to Lottles and found that he had his pants off his body, exposing himself to several people walking nearby and was defecating on the floor.
Oh, my God.
The security guard called for her partner, who saw the same thing. Lottles told police officers that people in the restroom were taking too long to clear out, so he, quote, had to do what he had to do.
I mean, I got to do it in public behind a concession stand.
Why not do it on the floor in the bathroom?
That would be sick.
By the loading dock.
Building. Privately, in the grass at the loading dock.
I'm going to unload.
Lottles was taken on a charge of indecent exposure.
I had to poop.
All right, listen to this, Kath. I'm curious as to what you think about this.
All right.
A man has ended up in the hospital with a severe fungal infection in his lungs caused by sniffing his socks.
Stop it.
What the... Why are you sniffing your socks?
The unnamed man from China would take a whiff every day at the end of work.
Oh. And well, he deserves the lung infection.
He was changing into more comfortable clothing, and he would take off his smelly socks and inhale the odor.
Yes, that's so good.
As a result, he caught an infection from a fungus that had developed in his footwear from his sweaty feet and spread to his lungs when he breathed in the spores.
So he was enjoying it. It was a little payoff at the end of the day, correct?
I guess so, yeah. The man admitted that he was admitted as an emergency case to the hospital, where an X-ray confirmed him suffering from a severe lung infection, and he has been kept for treatment.
You have athlete's foot in your lungs.
Yeah, they confirmed that it was caused by his frequent sniffing of his own socks. People with a foot fetish have been known about for many years, although fascination with socks is a little less known. But earlier this year, a 21-year-old girl in America revealed that she had attracted a sock daddy.
Sock daddy.
Who was prepared to pay large sums for her sweaty socks. So
why not?
Yeah, right? Yeah. Would you offer those up, Kathy, if you found that there was somebody who really loved it?
If you had a wealthy sock daddy at the ready?
I don't. You guys know how many socks I have, but no, I don't think so. I can't part with my socks.
Okay.
Listen, I really like the smell of socks. I understand you're a broadcaster.
No, that's my favorite song.
I left.
Yes, sir. I'm looking for a Kathy Romano.
Tony
got some stinky tooties.
I hope Tony's going to be around all day today. Tony Bennett, ladies and gentlemen. That wonderful crooner from San Francisco.
Legend. He's a legend.
Yeah. Actually, he's not from San Francisco. I think he's a New Yorker.
Like the place.
He just loves that place.
I'm actually from Kuwait.
All that poop. Yeah.
From Kuwait.
All right, and that's what I have for you in the Bizarre File as of now. Where's he from, Nick?
Queens.
New York City.
Queens. All right. A wonderful place called... Hey, I got rid of the effect.
All right.
Queens is outside of New York City.
Right. That is what I have in the B-File for you. Let's take a break and come back in just a moment or two. We have a lot more things to give away this morning. More Christmas Miracle Passes will be given away this morning. Just you stand by. When to call in for that. And our friends from Yards and Bernie's are here, and we'll do some giveaways with them, too. We'll take a quick break. Be back in a moment. Stay down.
Preston and Steve.
On 93.3 WMMR.
You know what? It's time that we have a visitor, one that we haven't had in quite some time. Ladies and gentlemen, return to the Preston and Steve Studios, the historian this morning.
From the vast libraries of the WMMR studios, the most learned individual currently in our employ, the historian.
I don't know about that, but I do have some stories that I've set aside that I think are kind of interesting, and I will begin with a historical story that involves this season, Christmas.
Ah.
And one that is very, very interesting. And it is about a figurine. And I haven't found the proper way to pronounce this, actually. It's a Kaganer.
That's a dive. That's a half Kaganer.
No.
Oh, it's when you go forward off the board, right, but then flip backwards.
Exactly.
Okay.
It is spelled C-A-G-A-N-E-R, or a Kaganer. I'm not sure exactly how you pronounce it. I need it written out phonetically, but it is very interesting. And it is found in Catalonia, I believe, and parts of Spain. And it is actually a figurine that has its pants pulled down to its ankles, bent over, and is excreting, is pooping.
What?
And the interesting thing about
this... My ears just pricked up.
Thank you, Tony. No, it is a traditional part of nativity scenes in certain parts of the world.
So in we're looking at it right now. So Spanish...
Mm-hmm.
Spain, is it Spain predominantly?
It is... Well, here you go. The Kaganer comes in a number of shapes and sizes, although traditionally he wears a white shirt and a traditional Catalan hat, known as a berretina, and is a regular feature of nativity scenes in Catalonia.
All right, we're looking at one right now. We had one that appeared to be an older woman, which was the first one that popped up.
I think it was the queen. I think that's what we were...
Yeah, I'm taking a dump.
Well, I'll expand on that in a little while. He is believed to have started to appear around the early 18th century.
Huh.
So the early 1700s.
So during the internet craze.
Yeah, and all the rage.
Internet, you know, boom.
No, the early 1700s. Nativity scenes in Catalonia, known as Paresbres, tend to represent pastoral scenes reminiscent of the local countryside with large country houses and depictions of rural life.
Huh.
Now, it is among these everyday scenes that the Kaganer tends to appear crouched behind a building or a tree in the corner of the nativity, taking a dump. While the most defining quality of the Kaganer, which literally means poop.
Yeah, I go poopy!
Which literally means pooper in Catalan, is without a doubt the very natural task to which he devotes himself. There is no clear opinion on what the meaning of his action is. Now, there are a number of possible accounts.
May I jump in, historian?
Of the significance of the Kaganer, which are held with equal conviction by historians in the region, yes.
All right, so will you explain the connection to the nativity itself?
Yes.
Okay.
At least to what they believe.
Now, okay.
Nobody's really 100% sure. Hang on,
I understand, historian. Water here. The historian is a little parched.
Yes.
The historian, trying to carry the vast weight of his huge brain around, often finds himself becoming dramatically thirsty. The way one might at a high altitude.
Ah, yes, correct.
I can relate.
One theory goes that the Kaganer simply represents fertility and the fertilization of the earth, which yields food for us to eat.
So there's such an abundance of food, you can't help but crap.
Yeah.
On this, what is it about good sex that makes me have to crap?
On this account, it's a symbol of good luck and the wish for a prosperous new year and good health. Another explanation for why the figures appear in local nativity scenes is that he is said to represent the mischief and evil that is in all of us.
So somebody obviously showing up at the nativity. You have the wise men, the frankincense and myrrh, and off in the corner, the Kaganer's taking a dump.
Right, exactly.
Guess what I just did?
Yeah.
Shh, don't tell them.
Rather than denying or rejecting his natural disposition, the Kaganer is away.
I have brought the baby frankincense. What is that smell?
The Kaganer is a way of accepting what each of us has in common. We all take a dump.
Frankincense, myrrh, and poop.
Yeah. This view is echoed by some who see him as the contrast to the purity and good which appears in the rest of the nativity, and adding a touch of balance to the whole.
So
I want to see if anybody listening actually has one.
Please, please. I wonder if it is just simply Preston introducing whimsy into the nativity.
Not really sure.
Because and where would you play? Because in this, we're looking right here, the Kaganer is placed front and center.
Yeah.
In line of sight.
It's supposed to be off in the corner.
No, like this one is, he's the main act.
No, yeah. They're supposed to be.
He's Freddie Mercury in this stage play.
In a corner or behind a tree, they say, right. Usually. So
there's a text that came in, President, that says they have one in their nativity, and he hides behind the donkey, and he poops every year.
Okay.
Oh.
All right.
Okay. Kaganer or pooper?
Kaganer. Okay, so that's the pronunciation.
Kaganer.
Kaganer or pooper?
Kaganer or
pooper?
Pooper.
Kaganer or
pooper?
Kaganer or pooper?
Pooper.
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 Kaganer or pooper?
Pooper. A cripper. He takes a crip and a pip.
A crip?
Who's
and a pip?
What does that translate? It's off of just the computer?
I don't
know. Yeah, Marissa found it somewhere.
Kaganer, poop hair.
Poop hair.
Kaganer or pooper?
BBC.
Pooper. Okay, so anyway, Kaganer. While the traditional Kaganer appears with his white shirt and bonnet, nowadays you can find a Kaganer depictions, you can find Kaganer depictions of everyone from Barack Obama to Obi-Wan Kenobi, Michael Jackson.
Oh. Yeah, I gotta take a dump.
To the Queen of England.
And feces all over the manger.
Oh my God. Due to a feces all over the manger?
Yeah. We have been traveling following the star.
Yeah.
Someone said there was a boy.
Oh, dear Lord. So
no, it's wrong.
Anyone from Barack Obama to Obi-Wan Kenobi to
There's
Michael Jackson.
Feces thrown all over the walls.
To the Queen of England.
That's what we were looking at.
That's why we saw a picture earlier of a Kaganer that was the queen.
So a quick question, historian.
Yep.
This is obviously revered imagery here.
Yep.
And so, but it's lighthearted. It's not meant in a derogatory way, is it?
No, it's not. It's supposed to be a part of this.
Okay.
These popular reinterpretations have become a commonplace in recent years and have proven to be popular souvenirs with tourists around the holiday season. These are even serious. There are even serious collectors who have taken to searching out the latest Kaganer.
Peer.
Might I suggest, instead of doing a Preston and Steve bobblehead ever again, that we have Preston and Steve Kaganers?
Oh, I am down with that.
Kathy Kaganer, at least.
Oh, yeah.
God almighty.
If there's an obvious Kaganer on the show, Casey.
It would be Kathy.
We could just put it in the frame of One Ballot Plaza in the background. Yeah,
yeah. We could replace where the big clothespin used to be out in front of the City Hall there.
I'm going to go to Kevin. Hi, Kevin. You're on with the historian. Good morning.
Doing all, guys. You guys rock.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Okay, so you have a Kaganer, right?
Yeah, so we just got back a few weeks ago from a trip to Barcelona, and these things were all over the place. They sold them like little tchotchkes in every store. And it wasn't just the little boys. They had every Avenger, every Justice League member, every pop culture person, all with their pants down, just taking a poop.
Oh my God!
So to your point, Kevin, we're looking at footage, and there are huge souvenir stands with all sorts of. I'm seeing Spider-Man, and there's Obama.
Politicians.
Yeah, the whole
Darth Vader.
Trump, they had Putin. They had anybody you can think of.
All right, so which one did you buy, Kevin?
We just got the traditional one. I'm looking at it right now. This little boy, he looks like a gnome almost taking a poop.
Okay. But,
oh, they have soccer stars and everything.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So you got Vladimir Putin.
What were you saying, Kevin?
My girlfriend's two-year-old nephew came over our house one day, played hide-and-go-seek. He hid in our pantry without any pants on, and he pooped in our pantry.
Oh my God.
So when we saw this, we had to buy it right away, and now we keep this in our pantry. And whenever he comes over our house, he says he wants to see the little boy pooping in the pantry.
That's funny. So I had no idea. I've never heard of this.
There's Pope Francis taking
a
dump.
I saw that, yeah.
Poop Francis.
Poop Francis. I guess everything is up for grabs. There's Batman taking a dump.
I have Raf, who says that he can explain a little bit of this. Hey, Raf, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's up, buddy?
In Spanish, in English you say caganar, but in Spanish, cagar is a very crude way to say poop.
Okay.
Cagar. It would be like S-H-I-T here, I guess, right?
No. That's exactly what it would be. Yeah.
Cagar. Oh, I never knew that.
Keep.
That's good to know. I knew merde in French.
Yes. And mierda.
That's it.
Cagar. Yeah, that's, and you roll the R?
Cagar, yes. Right. Roll the R.
All right.
Cagar. Okay, nice. Appreciate that, Raf.
No problem. Have a good day.
You too, man.
Thank you, Raf.
However, the Kaganer has also come under scrutiny in recent years, with certain authorities questioning whether the pooping figure was a suitable public display. In 2005, the local council of Barcelona decided to omit the Kaganer from the city's public activity scene, judging that it encouraged bad behavior in a city which had struggled with problems of public urination and defecation in the past. It's just like San Francisco.
Sounds like my kind of place. Where are we talking? Barcelona?
Barcelona, yes.
Barcelona.
Yeah. But
Spain's San Francisco.
Yeah. But the decision proved unpopular, and many locales complained about what
Hunched
they...
Hunched down over in the manger, taking a dump in the hay.
But what they saw as an attack on their cultural heritage.
But it's not.
And in 2006, the Kaganer was reinstated to his usual place among the wise men, the donkeys, and the angels. And it seems that despite his unverified origins and dubious behavior, the Kaganer is here to stay.
It's kind of kitschy. It's basically, if I may, the Spanish elf on the shelf.
Kind of like that.
Yes, with a little bit more religious gravitas.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. So anyhow, that is story number one. I have another.
He takes a poop.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
This one is not Christmas related. But
the historian feels it's incumbent upon him to distinguish this from the last story.
This is really cool. This is something that I never knew. Nick had sent me the story of this woman. Her name is Mary Babnick Brown, and she was born in November of 1907. She died in 1991, and she was an American who became known for having donated her hair to the United States military during World War II. And I'll explain why her hair was so important to the war effort.
She donated her hair.
Yes.
For military purposes.
And in a million years, you would never guess.
Can I guess?
Sure.
I'm going to guess, and I'm going to go out on a limb. Her hair was used in the manufacturing of tanks.
No. No. But in bombers.
In bombers.
So the 30...
Pilots like to wear wigs.
34 inches long, her blonde hair had never been chemically treated or heated with curling irons, and therefore proved resilient enough to use as crosshairs in Norden bomb sites for bomber aircraft, which had to withstand a wide range of temperatures and humidity. So... crosshairs.
That's where it comes from.
Bomb site are actual human hairs.
No. Okay, so this is blowing my mind.
Right.
The reason why I say it's blowing my mind, I would have imagined that they could simply etch in the glass.
Nope.
Etch in whatever they were using to keep it. But so they is there other reasons why they decided to go with actual human hair?
I'll give you the rundown of this stuff and explain a little bit behind
it. Fascinating.
But the most important thing is that this woman her hair was so perfect for this that it was used in the majority of these Norden bomb sights, which are very, very
precise.
Technical and precise pieces of equipment. That is correct. So Brown declined compensation for her donation, believing what she had done was her patriotic duty. She was told at the time only that her hair was needed for meteorological instruments and had no idea how it had been used until 1987. And President Ronald Reagan wrote to her that year on her 80th birthday to thank her. And in 1991, she received a special achievement award.
Thank you for the use of your hair. You have done this country a great service. Please accept this Kaganar.
He's ahead of his time.
What is this? It's a little poopy thing.
In 1991, she received a special achievement award from the Colorado Aviation Historical Society during a ceremony at the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. It's pretty amazing. In 1944, I'll give you the details on this. Brown was the first woman to have her hair used for military aircraft bomb sites. She saw an advertisement in a Pueblo newspaper in 1943 that said the government was looking for hair from women for the war effort, although no details were given as to how it would be used.
You have hair?
The ad said only that they wanted blonde hair that was at least 22 inches long and which had not been treated with chemicals or hot irons. The women's hair collection for use as bombsite crosshairs was a clandestine operation, even though they found the hair through a newspaper advertisement. The Army Air Forces had tried several different materials for the crosshairs of the Norden bombsite, a carefully guarded, state-of-the-art instrument that aimed bombs at their target. The bombsite was used on the B-24 Liberator, the B-29 Superfortress, and the B-17 Flying Fortress aircraft.
All right, so do they explain at all why they could not etch this into...
Well, they don't explain etching, but they do explain a couple of other things. So it was so secret that it was surrounded by booby-trapped charges that the crew were ordered to detonate if it appeared that the bomb site might be seized by the enemy. So it was a piece of equipment that they did not want to let go.
Right, and when you're saying bomb site, you're not saying a location. You're saying the site, the actual site that you look at. People might be confused.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. The thing that you look through, the eyepiece. According to Doug Adams, Black Widow spider webbing had been tried for the crosshairs. But it could not withstand
That crap was useless.
But it could not withstand the variations in temperatures to which the bomb site would be exposed. In contrast, fine blonde human hair that had not been treated with chemicals or heat was found to be reliable in a wide range of climatic conditions, including at 20,000 feet and below freezing.
Yeah, so because a lot of times, and people don't know this, you ever see the movie Memphis Belle or whatever, it was freezing up there. They would plug into these little electrical sockets to warm their hands, but there was no environmental situation. Yeah, there were open windows.
The gunner windows were open. Yeah. So Brown's hair was 34 inches and had never been cut, chemically treated, or heated with irons. It was her most prized possession. She washed it with pure soap twice weekly and combed it twice a day. It stretched down to her knees when she combed it out.
Wow.
She normally wore it wrapped around her head in a braid. And as a result, was known as the Lady with the Crown. That was her nickname.
So the Pentagon must have, or they must have kept her. I mean, she
didn't know what this was
for.
Oh,
so they didn't know.
No, she didn't know. She just thought it was for meteorological.
She never questioned why every time she hailed a cab, a tank showed up?
No, but she had enough hair. Steve, her hair was way down here.
Right. Like Crystal Gale.
So it was, it was more than enough than they needed to make all these bomb sites. So it wasn't like they kept coming back to her to get more. The government purchasing agent at the Washington Institute of Technology told her that her hair would be used for meteorological instruments. She sent off samples, and they concluded that it would be appropriate for the crosshairs. Brown agreed in 1944 to have it cut. The government offered to pay her for in war-saving stamps, but she refused, seeing it as her duty to help the war effort. She ended up feeling traumatized by the loss of it and cried for 2 months afterwards. As well as being used for bombsite crosshairs, Brown's hair was also used in scientific equipment to make precise measurements of humidity, paramount in the production of military aircraft and other war equipment.
We cannot thank you enough for all of your efforts, especially for your pubic hair, which we used in our tanks.
What? Brown's
and then
hair.
Then came the jet age. Of course, we called upon you once again for your ass hair.
What a patriot.
Your armpit hair. Your ear hair.
Brown's.
Your down there hair.
Brown's hair was the first woman's hair used as crosshairs in military aircraft bomb sites.
I find this fascinating that that was, for whatever reason they did it for the obviously an effective reason, just that that was the best way to do it.
Yeah, I don't know. You'd have to look up the bomb site information and find out why.
They used to use her nipples to tune in Tokyo Press.
You'd have to look up the Norden bomb site for more information on that. So
that's the
I thought
site
that
follows Santa, right?
I thought that, no, that's the NORAD. I thought that was a really interesting story. One
that
I've
is
never
a fascinating
yeah.
story, historian. Well done.
And I never knew the crosshairs were actually associated with human hair.
Human hair?
Yeah, crosshairs, yeah.
Preston, in the story you mentioned, the B-29 Super Fortress and the B-17 Flying Fortress, and I don't remember which one of those I saw, but I went to an air show 2 or 3 years ago, and one of those was flying around. It was like an active Flying Fortress, and oh my God, is that an impressive vehicle. It's like, and these were standard use, obviously, during World War II, and probably during the Korean War as well. They're just amazing, and they're also incredibly loud. Like, the engines on those bad boys.
So they were, you got to realize, when they were in flight, and they were up there, and the Flying Fortresses, it was, again, it was freezing.
Yeah.
They would have to plug it. They if you were to touch it in the metal, it would freeze, your skin would freeze to it. Mm-hmm. All of this stuff was an issue.
And any extra weight was a liability. Because
yes.
they wanted as much bombing material as they could possibly have up there.
If you ever get a chance, Memphis Belle is a good representation of
was it a was it a jet engine, or did they have
no,
props?
No, it was prop engines. Okay. And it was either the Flying Fortress or the
made out of pubic hair.
Or the Super Fortress. I don't remember which one.
I was at Pocono Raceway, and they had a flyby by a B-52.
Oh my God.
I was there. You're talking about a monster, man.
Yeah, it's
unbelievable.
It's cool.
Yeah. So very cool. All right. Do we have time for one more?
We go back into the library as the historian slides his fingers across all sorts of books. What topic shall he select next?
Well, I have a few different ones that we could go to here.
Go do this. Go.
Well, let's see here. There was one that, hang on a second.
Ooh, he's reaching back.
He's turning around to grab a sheet of paper.
Well, there was one that had to do
with... What illuminating piece of information will be contained on this sheet?
Well, I thought...
Printed in our green room.
I thought that since Tony was here, that one from San Francisco might be kind of fun.
That would be most agreeable.
But I don't know...
Come on, man.
If I can find it.
I'm not getting younger.
New York.
I know he is, but he loves. He left his heart.
I love San Francisco.
He left his heart there.
F and hate New York.
Yes, actually.
It's going to be hard to top the crapping statue and the human hair.
Well, if you want something.
Not unless you have a vagina that serves as a subway.
If you want to top that, then I'll go with a different story. In 1909, a door-to-door catnip salesman incited a riot in New York.
What?
Yes. New York City businessman G. Herman Gottlieb was looking for a way to make a quick buck. He found it in a wooded section of northern Manhattan where wild catnip grew.
Do we know what this section is currently known as?
No.
Just, all right.
It says northern Manhattan. So after harvesting two baskets full of the plant, Gottlieb headed downtown to Harlem, intending to sell the product to residents with pampered felines. What Gottlieb didn't know was that the neighborhood was also home to plenty of feral cats with a voracious appetite. As Gottlieb made his way around the neighborhood, a handful of stray cats seized upon some leaves that had fallen out of his basket. And they began writhing and rolling around on the ground like cats
yes,
do.
Yes, they love their catnip.
They get around catnip. Well, soon, even more kitties joined in and jumped up at his baskets, rubbed themselves against his legs, mewing, purring, and saying complimentary things about him, according to an article in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch in 1909.
The cats were saying complimentary things?
I think they were just using some poetic
really good
license.
Stuff. Where you come from?
Yeah. Northern Manhattan.
Northern Manhattan, the wooded section?
Maybe. Yeah, in fact, it was.
All right.
At the time, this was in 1909, so there may have been some,
so it was still early development.
Yep. Gottlieb tried to frighten the cats away, But the persistent animals wouldn't budge. All of them, rich and poor, aristocrats from the sofa cushions near the front windows and thin plebeians from the... This is the article.
Yeah.
Plebeians from the airways struggled mightily to get into the two baskets of catnips. Soon, Gottlieb found himself surrounded by somewhere between 30 and 40 cats, each one of them clamoring for his goods. When he eventually spotted a policeman, Gottlieb thought that he had found an ally against the cats. Instead, Sergeant John F. Higgins promptly arrested Gottlieb for inciting a crowd.
Of cats?
Yes. Trailed by several cats, Higgins and Gottlieb made their way to a police station on East 104th Street. But when they arrived, authorities couldn't decide whether or not the salesman had actually broken any laws. Lieutenant Lasky said, "We cannot hold this man." And he was the officer that received the arrest report. He said, "The law says a man must not cause a crowd of people to collect. The law doesn't say anything about cats."
Sorry.
But Higgins replied, "The law doesn't say anything about people. It says a crowd. A crowd of cats is certainly a crowd." And amid this debate, a station cat named Pete began fighting with the invading felines and, with the help of some policemen, eventually drove the catnip-hungry kitties out of the building.
I'm a police cat.
Gottlieb was eventually released and even driven home in a patrol wagon, all while being chased by a few lingering cats still hot on the trail of his now regrettable merchandise. So he incited a riot, but not of people.
It was cats. And did they eventually discard this catnip that was obviously so enticing?
I believe so.
Where did they put it?
Oh, I don't know.
In a dog pound.
It doesn't indicate what exactly they did with it, but they did get rid of it because the cats were a bit of a problem.
That's great. That must have been, as they say in the cat world, that must have been some good ass.
Yeah, I think so. It was high quality. So there you go. That was nice. An interesting historian.
From the historian.
Yes.
Leaving us with a warm story of kittens and kitties, mm-hmm. feral and domestic.
Mm-hmm.
He has taken us again on a journey of the mind. Illuminating and elucidating us with information we can carry with us.
Elucidating.
As we go through our daily travails.
You want one more?
Sure.
Is it about the penis?
No, it is not about the penis.
We'll take it anyway.
Let's go. Do you want something kind of scary?
Yeah!
Okay, all right. The Norwegian rocket incident.
The Norwegian rocket incident.
Yes.
Also, I fondly remember the Norwegian rocket incident. I once met a girl.
Actually, it was...
That's the Norwegian wood.
That's right.
I got it.
Thank you.
I got it.
No, it was known as the Black Brant Scare, and actually occurred not too long ago, January 25th, 1995, when a team of Norwegian and American scientists launched a Black Brant 12, a Black Brant... 12 four-stage sounding rocket from the Andøya rocket range off of the northwestern coast of Norway.
Andøya?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
The rocket, which carried scientific equipment to study the Aurora Borealis over Svalbard, flew on a high northbound trajectory, which included an air corridor that stretches from Minuteman III nuclear missile silos in North Dakota all the way to the Russian capital city of Moscow.
Oh, boy.
During its flight, the rocket eventually reached an altitude of 1,453 kilometers, or about 903 miles, resembling a U.S. Navy submarine-launched Trident missile.
I can see where this is going.
As a result, fearing a high-altitude nuclear attack that could blind Russian radar, Russian nuclear forces were put on high alert.
How close did we get?
And the Nuclear Weapons Command suitcase was brought to Russian President Boris Yeltsin.
Bring suitcase.
Who then had to decide whether to launch a retaliatory nuclear strike against the United States.
Oh, my God.
It's happened more times than you think, than we know.
We keep it secret.
Yeah, now there have been...
This is not my suitcase. This is bathroom kit.
When studying for the historian segments, I've come across many... false alarms,
right,
and scares that have taken place.
So how did this finally come to be avoided?
Well, this took place nearly 4 years after the end of the Cold War, the 1995 incident that's considered to be one of the most severe. Many Russians were still very suspicious of the United States and NATO at that time. To the radar operators, the rocket appeared similar to a Trident missile, leading the Russian military to initially misinterpret the rocket's trajectory. One possibility was that the rocket had been a solitary missile with a radar blocking electromagnetic pulse, an EMP, you've heard mm-hmm. of those before, payload launched from a Trident missile to try and blind the radars. In this scenario, gamma rays from a high-altitude nuclear detonation would create a very high-intensity electromagnetic pulse that would confuse radars and so on and so forth. So as a result of the alert, Russian submarine commanders were ordered to go into a state of combat readiness and prepare for nuclear retaliation.
Jesus.
Soon thereafter, Russian observers were able to determine that the rocket was headed away from Russian airspace and was not a threat. The rocket fell to Earth as planned near Spitsbergen.
Spitsbergen.
Yeah. 24 minutes after the launch.
Attention, Russia. I know you don't like us, and we don't like you much neither. But this was an accident. Now, I hate for you to think that we're trying to blow you up, but we were not. We just wanted to find out how you make a rainbow. So we hope you don't blow us up.
I love the general address. Attention, Russia.
That's how Rocky would do it.
Yeah, attention, Russia. Knock, knock.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Attention, Russia.
Yeah.
You might think we was trying to blow you up. We were not. We were trying to find out what makes the rainbow.
Yeah.
Because we know it's not Skittles.
No.
I get the impression he's just like hitting an intercom button in his house.
Yeah. Why did we install this?
I got the money.
Unbelievable.
I bought it after Pulsar.
Yeah, after Pulsar.
Rock, what's this button that says Russia?
Attention,
it's
Russia.
The intercom in his house.
Attention, Russia. It's Rocky Balboa. You might think we were trying to blow you up. We were not. We wanted to find out how you build a rainbow. I want you to know you're all safe. Go back to eat your borscht. Goodbye.
So it landed near Spitsbergen 24 minutes after the launch. The Norwegian rocket incident was the first and thus far only known incident where any nuclear weapon state had its nuclear briefcase activated and prepared for launching an attack.
Yeah, there's been a couple of close calls.
Yeah,
You know, if you watch, if you just want to sweat bullets, there's a movie called Failsafe. Mm-hmm. Which is pretty powerful. Pretty powerful, but also extraordinarily hilarious, Dr. Strangelove.
Right, right. And 13 days.
13 days.
Also takes you up to the edge of possible nuclear.
And Spies Like Us.
Spies Like Us, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or another one with Gregory Peck called On the Beach. It's after the fact.
I was watching Spies Like Us a few weeks ago. Did you know, and he's not even credited in it, that B.B. King has a bit part in that movie?
Which part?
When they show up to the drive-in theater,
yeah,
and he goes, "Gentlemen, I suggest you have a Pepsi."
Oh, yeah. He's behind the counter, right?
No, he's they're outside, but they have to go into the concession stand.
It's, yeah.
And then they get the Pepsi, and it takes them down into the underground lair.
Like at 100 miles an hour.
But it's B.B. King.
Who's the one who says that?
Of all people who says that.
Ah.
Yeah. I had to double take and rewind
it.
And I'm like, that's B.B. King, all right. There's actually a fair amount of serious actors that are in that. Did you find it, Nick?
Is this him?
Yeah, that's him.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then
it also has one of the greatest scenes, Nick, just to jump in. Vanessa Angel in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Stretching. You remember that scene, Preston, right?
Oh, yes. Yes. That was the first we ever saw of Vanessa Angel. Yeah, when she comes out in her underwears.
And who's the, speaking of cameos of...
Attention, Russia.
No, I was just reminded of cameos in movies like that, starring Dan Aykroyd, and it's in Trading Places in Philadelphia. It's the blues singer.
Oh, yeah. No, it's Bo Diddley.
Bo Diddley, yeah. Thank you.
It was on Sunday.
It's for $50.
Yeah.
I watched it, and I was telling you, Preston, we had our conference call. I said, it holds up. Still great.
That's a great movie.
And to see Philadelphia, you know, depicted that way was fantastic.
Okay, so that's it. That's all I have in the historian files.
Wraps it up. Mm-hmm. We shall return to the libraries of the WMMR studios soon. But until then, adieu.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We will come back in a moment. Let me give away some Christmas miracle passes.
Yes.
Whoa. All right, so we're going to start with caller number 20. We'll do caller 20, 21, and 22 at 215-263-WMMR. You will be able to join us. The Christmas Miracle Broadcast. It's in 2 days.
Whoa!
And we're at Parks Casino in Bensalem. Let's have you be a part of that party. You have to be free the whole morning. 215-263-WMMR. Don't forget, it is the Miller Lite Ugly Sweater Edition. Marissa has an appearance tonight. It's the last pre-party. She will be at Blue Cross River Rink, 8 till 10. Stop by. You might win passes to the Christmas Miracle that way.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, what's up? It's Preston. Listen, I'd like to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast. Jack Frost and Big Boulder ski areas are officially open for the season. And WMMR's Day Up on the Slopes with Pierre Jackson is January 4th. Tickets are available now at WMMR.com while supplies last. JFBB, where the snow comes first.
If you love paying for shipping, you're going to hate Steven Singer. Free shipping both ways, making return and exchanges easy. Visit him online at IHateStevenSinger.com or at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Hey, gang, this holiday season, your special someone is going to unwrap and unwind if you get him a gift card from Hand & Stone Massage and Facial Spa. And there's a special offer. You can save $10 on spa gift cards at regular pricing. Or you can buy a holiday spa package and you get a free massage or facial gift card with that. Go to handandstone.com today for all the information.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
On 93.3 WMMR Blitzkrieg Bach. It is Preston and Steve. It is 9:14, a Tuesday morning. Windy. We saw our trees, which obviously have no leaves on them at all, whipping all around. So you know the wind is strong when you see leaveless trees whipping around.
Blowing down the boardwalk.
That's right. Sunny today. High of about 39. Sunshine tomorrow, 45. And then some rain coming into the area by the time we get to Friday. But warmer temperatures, 61 degrees.
Do you know what I saw? Mm-mm. And I'm not sure this is the case, but I believe Tuesday evening, some snow possibly.
Oh, really?
Like light snow showers.
Tonight?
No, next Tuesday.
Oh, next
Christmas
Tuesday.
Eve.
Okay. All right. Well, that's that could be cool.
Monday into Tuesday.
I've seen a couple of flurries this year. Just brief. Very, very short. Yeah. But
And then there was that light dusting we had. Oh, remember that one?
Oh, that was at the... Yeah, that's yeah. Right. We are going to play Name That Song in 8 Bits, but the first few ones that we have are all Christmas-related.
I like that.
That's all Marissa's doing. Marissa did this. I think I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think I got like 6 of them. Ooh. That are all Christmas-related. And then if we run through all of those, we can do some other ones. So 215-263-WMMR. It's the old video game music. But we've... taken songs that they've used that technology with to make some tunes for you. And these are songs that you would know. And if you can identify them simply by the 8-bit version, you can win a prize. So 215-263-WMMR.
You know, as these retro decks become more and more popular, and like the older, the little self-contained game units that are the, you know, like the first Sega and all that stuff, people are more and more familiar with this 8-bit audio. And it's very cool.
Yep, absolutely. So give us a call right now. Case, what did you want to...
Oh, we have your intro song.
That. Yeah, go ahead.
Name that song in 8 bits.
That's my intro song.
It's excellent.
But nobody's answered the phone yet, so we can't start playing the game yet.
That's our little practical joke, our little holiday practical joke.
Here we get contestants on the line at 215-263-WMMR. Case, what will be included prize-wise in here?
All right, so we have a lot of things. We will dabble, some dribble, whatever.
Drizzle?
Drizzle, that's what I'm looking for.
Dabbled?
Globs of Cops, we're going to put some Christmas Miracle passes in there.
Ooh.
Not everyone gets that. We also have tickets to see Dane Cook at the Met in March. We have cases of Yards Variety Pack. And then we also have these awesome Bernie's gift cards. So we got $50 gift cards to Bernie's Restaurant and Bar as well.
All right. So, I like it. All right, let's
you okay?
Get some callers on the line and give some stuff away. So we are going to go to Mike first. Hello there, Mike.
What's going on, Presbo?
Yeah, buddy.
Presbo.
I love that, by the way.
It's great.
Mike, we are going to play you a song that is in 8-bit form. If you can identify it, you'll get a prize. And keep in mind, this is the Christmas edition. So these may be Christmas carols or songs from movies and things like that. You ready?
Yes.
Here we go.
Thank you.
Mike, any idea what song that is?
That's the mean one from Mr. Grinch.
Yeah, you got it.
A little bit of a gift to you.
Absolutely correct. And Casey's got a prize for you.
All right, so for you, Moike, we have a $50 gift card to Bernie's Restaurant and Bar. Congratulations.
Thank you. Eat it, Brian.
All right. Hey, eat it, Brian.
Eat it, Brian.
Yes. Love it.
It's a holiday wish.
All right, we will go next to Kelly. Hey, Kelly.
Hey, how are you?
Good, Kelly. So we're at 100% right now. You ready to try this out?
Yeah, sure. I'm ready to go.
Here comes your song.
Wow. Kind of a jazzy version.
A little jazzy, yeah.
Song, by the way.
So do I. All right, Kelly, any idea what that is?
Yes, it's I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus.
Damn right it is!
That's such a great song.
Michael Jackson, wasn't his the most famous version of it?
Michael Jackson? As a kid, he sang it.
I did see her kissing Santa Claus. I did. God damn it, I did! Why won't you believe me?
I remember. Yeah, maybe that was the source of all the trauma things that caused him to spiral downhill.
No, but they're Jehovah's Witnesses, so they wouldn't be celebrating that way.
Right. All right, what do we got for Kelly?
All right, for you, Kelly, we have a Yards Variety Pack. The holidays are time to get together with family and friends, and this year, bring cheer, bring beer, bring Yards Variety Pack. Find Yards at the Lodge Bar at River Rink Winterfest at Penn's Landing.
Very good. All right, we'll get another caller on the line. We'll do the name that... Oh, I keep forgetting to play this.
Yeah.
Holiday activity.
No, not that. What's going on here?
I meant this.
Kathy, stop.
Name that song in 8 bits.
Well, since it's the, Christmas version, it could be considered a holiday activity.
She injects her activities into everything.
I have Toby. Hi, Toby.
Hi.
Hey. All right. Very good. Done by the pituation.
Hey.
All right, Toby, we've got one for you. You ready?
Yep.
All right, let's cue this up, and here we go. Toby, you ought to know what that is by now. Any idea?
Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad! Absolutely correct. Hang on, and let's see what we got for you, Casey.
Toby, we have a pair of tickets to Preston and Steve's Christmas Miracle live broadcast inside the Excite Center at Parks Casino in Ben Salem. It's going to be this Thursday, December 20th, and winners, I hope you're at least 21, because you have to be at least 21 to attend, and only seat winners will actually be eligible to compete for prizes. All the details are at WMMR.com.
By the way, going back to, I saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. Nick pulled up some information, and it was written by British songwriter Tommy Connor.
Okay.
But the song has been recorded by many artists, the most famous version being attributed to the Jackson 5.
That's right.
So that would be it. Do me a favor, Nick. Pull up the lyrics to Feliz Navidad, because all I know is Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad.
Prospero año y felicidad.
That's what I want to know.
It's a prosperous
new
year.
I know Prospero, but Prospero what?
Like a prosperous new year.
No, I know. In Spanish.
Say it again, what you just said.
In Spanish.
Prospero año y felicidad.
Prospero año.
Yeah, like a prosperous year.
No, I don't want to know.
He wants to be able to say it.
Prospero año y felicidad.
Año e felicidad.
Yes.
Okay. You guys work better together when you're correcting loose leaf issues.
Yeah. My bad, Preston.
We had an argument off air, and it was me misunderstanding Casey, and that was just Casey misunderstanding you. So, it's all good.
Pound it out.
No, she was a dancer.
That's a great song.
It is a great song.
Jose Feliciano was the most notable version of that, yes?
Yes. In fact, he's the only one that I personally know of.
It's Michael Jackson,
or at least the first to do it. Prospero año y felicidad. Okay, I'll have to try to remember that. I'll have to commit that to memory.
You know what's amazing when putting together a contest like this is that finding this audio is not incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, let's do an Itbit contest. And is there a version of Feliz Navidad? Yes, there is.
Yeah.
Sure enough.
I mean, could you imagine trying to do this before the internet?
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
10 years ago?
Yep. Mm-mm. All right, so we're going to get another contestant on the line. It is Name That Song in 8-Bits.
Name That Song in 8-Bits.
The holiday edition, the Christmas edition, and I will go next to Greg and see if he wants to play. Hey, Greg, how you doing, man?
Hey, what's up, jabronis?
Right.
We are jabronis.
Cool word.
Yeah.
All right, Greg, you ready?
Yep.
Here is your song. Favorite.
Hate it.
We'll give it just a second. Everybody knows it, but. All right, let's go. Greg, these are gimmies, man. What song is that?
Grandma Got Run Over by Reindeer?
Of course it is. Yeah!
They did a special for this thing, an animated special. You ever see that piece of crap?
I didn't watch it. No, I didn't care. I did not care. What do we have for Greg?
We do have a $50 gift card to Bernie's Restaurant and Bar.
Yeah.
And by the way, I mean, you think about it. That song is about a hit and run with Santa Claus at the wheel, right? And then he's also, a couple of songs ago, he is a philanderer, right?
Wait a minute.
Which for the kid... It's a lose-lose situation, right? You go
Wait. Yeah. Can you back up?
Yeah.
I thought it was literally about a reindeer running over grandma.
It was Santa's sleigh that ran over.
Okay.
Yeah. And so did he stop and give his information?
Did he even know, though? Oh, he may not have even known.
It doesn't matter.
Going,
I mean,
remember, we know he's going at a supersonic speed.
You're probably right. But
you know how slow that old bitch was?
She's drunk, apparently, Casey.
She'd been drinking too much eggnog.
She was also selling lewds to some of the neighborhood kids.
Lewds.
It's an older song. Lewds were still
dating
around.
Oh, yeah. Yes, you're dating ourselves.
Oh, man. It was written by Randy Brooks, originally performed by the husband and wife duo of Elmo and Patsy. In 1979.
I still remember reading about their murder-suicide.
I didn't know it went back that far. Wow.
We had one song.
See what Elmo and Patsy had... besides an
opioid addiction.
Well, we all know that. We know how it ended. Go under singles there. It's,
Where am I doing this?
Up here, it says singles.
Oh, they had two, Preston.
Yeah, Dr. Elmo's Twisted Christmas. Oh, yeah, Grandma Got Run Over by Reindeer, and then Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, the re-recording.
They also wrote Jeremy for Pearl Jam.
Oh, really? Okay.
Was
not aware of
that. She dies, right? The grandmother dies, right?
She is not only that, but her body is chopped up and sold for dog meat.
Wait, in the song?
You got to figure, because as for me and Grandpa, we believe, like, Grandmom's not there to say, oh, yeah, no, Santa's real. He hit me with his reindeer.
I don't know if
she's
she died.
Dead.
Do they ever clarify
the music
that she's
video
dead?
In which Elmo plays both Grandma and Grandpa while Patsy plays Cousin Mel, Grandma survives the attack and makes a triumphant return through the chimney.
However, she can't have kids.
Well, she was a grandmother
I know.
At that time.
I'm just stating a fact.
Okay.
She's gone through menopause. Not as a result of
She can't play
run
the
over.
Piano either, but she couldn't before the accident.
Yeah, she had a hysterectomy. Yeah. Okay, so we're moving on to James next. Hi, James. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, James. You ready to play?
I am.
All right, by the way, we're playing...
Name That Song in 8-Bits.
And here is your song. We're going to have to let this one establish. James, what's the name of that song?
I'm so glad you let it play out. Last Christmas.
Yes, by Wham, of course. That is absolutely correct. Last Christmas. And Case, what do we have for him?
For you, James, we have a pair of tickets to see Dane Cook on Saturday, March 30th at the Met. Tickets are on sale this Friday. That was last Friday at 10 a.m. So they're on sale right now is what I'm trying to say at Ticketmaster.com. There you go.
Nick has the video playing right now. What a cheese ball.
Do yourself a favor. Over the holidays, sit down and watch this classic.
Yes.
And you will appreciate Wham all over again.
Oh, my God. That is just...
you know, Deadpool... Big fan.
Yeah, absolutely. That song has a dear heart in my place. My daughter a couple of years ago was taking guitar lessons and singing lessons, and she performed that live
at a
coffee house in Phoenixville.
Aww.
Yeah, it was really, really precious. So
good selections, Marissa. Marissa's grabbing some home runs here.
What's that?
Did you still have that? Can we play it or?
No, she wouldn't want me to, but okay. It was really sweet. Okay, let's do Case. I think we just have one more.
Yes, sir.
What are you laughing at, Nick? The video?
George Michael is so jealous of another heterosexual man in the video.
He's jealous of her.
Yeah.
Andrew Ridgeway?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, you should watch the video. Okay, we have one more Christmas song, and then we'll see if we have time to do other ones. I don't know. We haven't made up our minds yet. Let me go to Jay. Hi, Jay.
It's Liam Wilson.
Liam Wilson.
Liam Wilson. Did I say that?
Yeah.
And I knew that.
I believe it.
All right, Jay. Here's the last Christmas
name
one for
that
you.
That song in 8 bits.
Did that do it by itself?
No, I did it because you forgot.
All right, here.
Oh my
we...
God, the board is haunted.
Here we go, Jay. This is going to take a second, too. I'm going to be a stickler about the title of this. I got to make sure you get it correct. So, Jay, what's the title of that song?
It's Where the Streets Have No Name.
That's right. Where the Streets Have
by
No
Liam
Name.
Leeson, yes.
By Liam Leeson.
Oh, sorry, Jay. We got to let you go, man. Incorrect.
Liam Leeson.
Let me go to Eileen. Hey, Eileen.
Oh, I really want to win Miracle Ticket.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What a
time to be a stickler. Okay. I know. Do you know the song?
I know the song.
Do you know the name of it?
I believe it's Merry Christmas, but I think I'll skip this one this year.
That is incorrect.
Oh, man.
You know the song, but I got to get the title of the song. I'm sorry, Eileen. I know. Aww. I don't think it's mentioned in the song
Come
at all.
On, Kathy.
I know. They're being such Grinches. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Don't apologize on my account.
Kathy commiserates because she does whippets too.
Sorry,
I commiserate because I don't know the name of any song. I just know the lyrics.
Let me go to Rob. Hey, Rob.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Rob, do you need to hear any more of that or do you know it?
I do know that song.
You don't know the name of it, though, do you?
No. Yeah, I do.
What is it?
It is Christmas Rapping.
He's great. Yeah, that's exactly. Christmas Rapping. That is correct. And Case, what are we going to give Rob?
I mean, to add insult to injury, the next prize up was a pair of tickets to see Preston and Steve's Christmas Miracle broadcast live at the Excite Center Parks Casino in Bensalem. It's Thursday.
Yeah.
This Thursday, December 20th. You have to be 21 to attend. Only seat winners are eligible to compete for prizes.
All right, so that's for Rob?
That's for...
Yeah, Rob. He just won.
I thought it was for Tom.
No, it's for Rob.
Rob.
Who won a beer.
Oh. Well, you can have beer then.
It's all good. It's all good. Either one. We'll let him choose.
Well, just in case he wanted beer, can I do the proper read for the beer?
Please. Yeah,
hey, want a Yards Variety Pack. The holidays are time to get together with family and friends this year. Bring cheer. bring beer. Bring a Yards variety pack. Find Yards at Brewers Outlet in Chatsford.
Nice. Excellent. Well, you know what? We should just wrap it up right there because that was all the
Christmas stuff.
Yep, I agree.
Hey! Thank you, Marissa.
We have some others. Yeah, thank you, Marissa Magnata, for putting that together in all its glory.
Name that song in 8 bits.
But we'll play it again sometime soon because you also had a whole bunch of other ones ready to go, but we'll use those as their non-Christmas songs. So let's take a quick break. Come back in a moment or two. Still got some great Bizarre File stories to set you up with, and you never know. We might do some more Christmas Miracle giveaways. I'll check on our set up and how many we have left if we're getting ready for that broadcast on Thursday. Be back in a sec.
MMR's Day Off on the Slopes at Jack Frost Mountain is Friday, January 4th. Celebrate winter with the best lift ticket deal out there, along with the Pierre Robert live broadcast and a legendary happy hour with Jackson, live from the E2000 Lounge. MMR VIPs, listen up. The price is still way cheap, but it's a little different this year. The sooner you buy your lift tickets, the less you pay. Now through December 17th, lift tickets are just $10 while supplies last. WMMR.com has the details. MMR's Day Off on the Slopes. Sip, ski, and be merry. Friday, January 4th at Jack Frost Mountain from JFBB, where the snow comes first, and 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
We call it Duck the Halls. And you know why we call it Duck the Halls? Because Casey used to always play that duck sound effect when Pierre would laugh.
It's very similar.
With his his very distinctive laugh. And therefore, it became Duck the Halls instead of Deck the Halls. I think did Jake edit that? Jake Matera? Wasn't he the one who did that, I think? I'm going to have to double check who did that edit.
I think so, yeah.
But I still love that one. And I grabbed salad for later on.
You got a salad?
I got a salad. They have salads out there.
Are there any nuts on them?
But they have, no.
You can put yours.
No, they have steak, though. So it's it looks like it might be filet or something like that. It looks really, really good. So I'm going to have that for lunch.
You're being very, very good and disciplined with your eating right now. I don't know if that's in preparation for the gluttonous season that's upon us.
No, I'm going to try and be good through the holiday. Okay. I've been gluttonous for 9 months.
Okay.
And it's time to be a big boy now.
Because
I'm cutting back and I'm losing a few pounds already, so I feel good about it. And by the time we get back from our winter break, I want to be a lean, mean fighting machine.
All right.
So,
because I found the recipe for the camp coffee buns. I was talking about them last week.
Yeah.
And
you can still make them, and then you could sample, but just balance it out.
Yeah, you can bring some in.
Well, I made some over the weekend, just kind of testing it out. And
can't you tell we've been noshing on them all morning?
I wanted to make sure I got it right before I brought them in.
All right, okay. So, I forgive you that,
but I didn't want to bring it in if you weren't going to be able to try it.
I'll try a little bit.
What are we dead?
It'll be good.
No, no. I wanted it for everybody.
Okay. All right. I hear you.
No, yeah. It's all good.
I mean, I would do the same thing, Steve, if you were
an Aquarian,
getting lean and mean.
No, yeah, but I always am. So what I do is I like you balance it out.
Yeah.
Everything in moderation.
And what's moderation?
Yeah, what's moderation?
Yeah.
A box of cookies.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
I tell you what, man. The Mediterranean diet, which I'm now, I just love the food and love all the various things associated with it.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful, heart healthy diet. And, you can stay on that and stay in shape.
All right.
I just try not to overindulge. That's it. Smaller portions.
Smaller cookies.
Yep. Smaller cookies, if
smaller
you will.
Smaller.
All right. We're going to do the Bizarre File. Here we go.
Now. Bizarre. WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Primo Hoagies, hosting family and friends this holiday season. Score big and serve in style with Primo Hoagies. Order online at PrimoHoagies.com. It's not just a hoagie, it's Primo. After an accidental trip via courier service, a 17-hour drive, and a 2,400-kilometer round trip, a cat came back home.
Aww.
A Nova Scotia family was reunited with their pet on Saturday night after the animal had crawled into a box bound for Alberta, Canada, more than a week ago.
Wow.
Employees discovered the cat in Montreal. They called the local SPCA, which tracked down its owners. Jacqueline Lake had been searching for her family's one-year-old tabby for 4 days when she got the call. She and her family thought the cat might have escaped while the kids were leaving for school. They put up flyers. They went around the neighborhood, knocking on doors, looking under sheds. Lake guessed that the cat, named Baloo, had crawled into a package containing a tire rim in the hour before she shipped it off. She thought that it was strange that one of the packages weighed about 10 pounds more than the others, but That's dismissed wild. It as a possible problem with the rims. She said he never made a sound. Lake said that she is eternally grateful for the SPCA and the network of volunteers with the organization called Freedom Drivers who relayed Baloo back home.
That's amazing.
So I didn't have money to travel to Montreal to get my cat back, but we got him. Baloo, for his part, appeared to be healthy. He ran straight to the family's other cat and then to his food dish. She said, I think he was a little stressed out. He's a really big baby, and I can tell from being in with the rims, he needs his own little shower. He's got a week's worth of eating to do. Our old boss, Jim, had accidentally, their cat, Homer, had crawled into the moving van when they were moving from St. Louis to here. And they thought the cat was gone.
Yeah.
He got here, opened it up, boom, came
that
crawling
is crazy.
Out. Mm-hmm.
The hell did you do to me?
It definitely happens. Mutant breeds of sharks have been found hiding out inside a deadly underwater volcano.
Okay.
Honestly, kid you not.
Do they have lasers on their backs?
Shocked marine experts discovered hammerheads and rays lurking in the acidic depths of the South Pacific. Experts from National Geographic led the expedition to Kavachi, an active volcano off the coast of New Guinea. The spout last erupted in 2014, so the dive team were not expecting to find any signs of life in its murky waters. However, when they sent a robot sub down to explore the volcano's landscape, they were quickly proved wrong. Ocean engineer Brennan Phillips said, when it's erupting, there's no way anything could live in there. And that's what makes discovering these animals down inside the volcano so perplexing. They live in a place where they could die at any moment. So how do they survive? And it's not just the heat and the acidity that should make conditions uninhabitable inside of the what has become known as the Sharkano.
Sharkano.
Oh, great.
It's very turbid, he said, so the water's very cloudy. None of these things are good for fish. Scientists believe the sharks must have mutated to survive in the hot and acidic environment. So you have mutant volcanic sharks now.
And we can talk.
Yeah, exactly. Few students can name a professor willing to go the extra mile to ensure that their students finish their studies. Fewer still can say that their teacher hired an elite team of mercenaries to save you so you can finish your PhD.
That's amazing.
This is a wild
story. What happened
here? A chemistry professor from Sweden did exactly that to rescue a student and his family from ISIS in Iraq. Charlotte Turner, a professor at Lund University, took the unprecedented action after she received a text message in 2014 from her student named Faraz Juma, saying that it was unlikely he would be able to finish his research due to threats from the terror group. She said what was happening was completely unacceptable. She told the university magazine 4 years later, I got so angry that the Islamic State was pushing itself into our world, exposing my doctoral student and his family to this after disrupting the research. Juma told the professor to assume that he would not be able to finish his thesis if he did not return within a week because he was stuck in an Iraqi town being surrounded and shelled by Islamic State militants. He said, I just wanted to tell my supervisor what was happening. I had no idea that a professor would be able to do anything for us.
I need you to go in and extract him and then kill them with extreme prejudice. If you could blow their heads off so they can't be identified by an international court.
Juma and his family were particularly in danger because they were a part of the Yazidi religious group. That was a group that was subject to brutal treatment by ISIS, who often tortured and murdered the men and sold the women into sex slavery.
This is amazing.
He voluntarily entered in the war zone after his wife in the area told him that ISIS had taken over a nearby village, massacring the men and enslaving the women. Now, the threat and the danger prompted the professor to take matters into her own hands, and she contacted the university's then security chief, a guy named Per Gustafsson. And she said it was almost as if he had been waiting for this kind of mission.
Your student. I possess a certain set of skills that makes me great for getting students out of ISIS territory.
Per Gustafsson said that we had a transport and security deal which stretched over the whole world. Following a few days of preparations, Gustafsson hired a private security company.
Wow.
Which then moved into the war zone in two land cruisers with four heavily armed mercenaries and one goal, rescue Juma and his family.
This is a friggin' movie waiting to be made.
Yeah, after finding him in hiding, they sped to an airport in Iraqi Kurdistan, safely escaping the mortal danger. And he successfully completed his PhD and works at a pharmaceutical company in Malmo now. Isn't that wild?
Yeah. But then a teacher sent a group of highly trained killers to retrain, starring Kathy Romano, super teacher from Touchstone Pictures. I am Kathy, and I'm going to hire an elite team to extricate you from ISIS-held areas.
The mercenaries. You got them. All right, and then we'll do one more story, and then we will wrap it up. A 552-carat yellow diamond was recently unearthed in Canada, the largest ever found in North America. Mining company Dominion Diamond Mines said in a press release a diamond was discovered in October at the Diavik Diamond Mine in Canada's Northwest Territories.
Diamonds, diamonds, diamonds.
The astonishing gemstone measures 33.74 millimeters by 54.56 millimeters.
Wow.
It was uncovered in the initial screening process at Diavik's recovery plant. They said abrasion markings on the stone's surface attest to the difficult journey it underwent in during recovery, and the fact that it remains intact is remarkable.
What are we talking value-wise?
They haven't put a number on it yet. Dominion Diamond Mines added the diamond will not be sold in its rough form, and it's too early to determine a value. The company will select a partner to cut and polish the stone. According to the company, this find exceeds a previous record held by the Diavik Foxfire, which was a 187.7-carat diamond. This one was 552 carats.
So Canada's rocking some...
It eclipsed it, yeah.
Major diamonds.
I didn't know that diamonds were prevalent in Canada.
Yeah, people like buying them from there because they're not blood diamonds.
Right.
And I also think they're not under the purview of De Beers. They are their own independent company.
And that is what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. We got to take a break. And as we do so, let's give away the last Bernie's gift card. How about that? $50 gift card to Bernie's Restaurant and Bar, 215-263-WMMR. Let's take caller number 9, and you get it. So give us a call right now. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, I'm Alexa.
Amazon's voice-activated personal assistant, Alexa, will take you right to MMR's brand new skill. It's the easiest way to open the station live stream and our audio on demand. Simply say, Alexa, open MMR.
What biopic starring Bobcat Goldthwait should I show my dad next?
I think he's going to love it.
215-263-WMMR. It's not really a biopic. It was a joke that was made earlier this morning, so don't go and, you know, give us a Bohemian Rhapsody or anything like that. All right, what biopic starring Bobcat Goldthwait should I show my dad next? 215-263-WMMR. As mentioned earlier this morning, we're going to do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you by Longwood Gardens. Visit a Longwood Christmas now through January 6th. I think that was one of your holiday activities, wasn't it?
You know, it was last year, but I did go this year again. It's just so beautiful.
All right, so it's now through January 6th. Timed tickets are required at longwoodgardens.org. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, former Teen Mom OG and softcore porn star Farrah Abraham going ahead with what is being called breast enhancement scar camouflage. Abraham says the procedure is similar to the same method she uses to hide any sign of talent.
Oh,
hey!
59-year-old Bobby Christina Engelhart says she has no regrets for an 8-year-long affair she had with Woody Allen that began when she was just 16 years old and he was 44. Engelhart says she saved thousands of dollars on Pepto-Bismol over the years because now there's nothing she can eat that will make her puke. And finally, Octomom Nadia Sulman claiming her 14 kids are well aware of her questionable past, which includes a brief run in adult films and a stint in rehab. Sulman says her family therapist has praised her candor, saying that it will one day help him buy a yacht.
Oh, yeah.
And that's your Hollywood Trash.
I will see if we can get an answer to this question. What biopic starring Bobcat Goldthwait should I show my dad next? 215-263-WMMR. I'll go to Mike. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Guess what I get to do?
All right, Mike.
Guess what I get to do?
What is the movie, please?
One Crazy Summer.
One Crazy Summer. That's absolutely correct.
Historical movie.
Mike, Hang on. We're going to get your information, and we are going to give you a $50 United Tire and Service gift card. Do you drive United? Through December 31st, you can see the pros at your neighborhood United Tire and Service and get up to $200 in rebates on select sets for four Goodyear tires. And you can see UnitedTire.com for details. Let us get into the music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, this morning is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, or Dunkin'.
Dunkin'!
New handcrafted espresso drinks from Dunkin' are amazing. Sipping is believing. Get any medium latte or cappuccino for $2 from 2 to 6 p.m. America runs on Dunkin'. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. The Raconteurs, of course, fronted by Jack White, will share two brand new songs tomorrow, titled Sunday Driver and Now That You're Gone.
That was actually my favorite iteration out. Yeah.
Of Jack White stuff?
Yeah, because I saw him in Atlantic City. Marissa was at that show, I believe. Yeah, it was a great show.
The news was revealed in a tweet from White's label Third Man Records, which also announced back in October that the Raconteurs will issue their first album in more than a decade in 2019. The last full Raconteurs LP was 2008's Consolers of the Lonely. They've only made two, by the way. Broken Boy was the other one. And so they got new stuff, and that will be coming out tomorrow. The Guns N' Roses Not In This Lifetime reunion tour is believed to be the second highest grossing tour of all time.
Wow.
Having generated an estimated $562 million since it began 2.5 years ago.
Nothing will get a band back together like that.
Yeah, Pollstar reports that the track raked in more than $82 million during 2018 alone over the course of 24 shows. At least four other tours have topped $500 million in sales. U2's 360 trek earned $735 mil. The Stones' A Bigger Bang cycle topped $558. Ed Sheeran's Divide road trip has grossed $555 million. Coldplay's A Head Full of Dreams took fourth. Took in $523 million with 45 headlining. Stadium dates still on his calendar in 2019. Ed Sheeran may end up with the highest grossing tour of all time.
And he also has much lower overhead.
I guess so, yeah. I'm not really sure what kind of production he takes on board. Let's see. Word has slipped out and a bit of footage as to how Bruce Springsteen celebrated on Friday night after the 236th performance of a Tony Award-winning production, Springsteen on Broadway. Page6.com posted among those attending the final night of the run was Sting and his wife Trudy Styler, Oprah Winfrey, and Rolling Stone founder Jan Wenner.
He Instagram lived it, the whole performance.
No way.
Bruce did, yeah. And so you could watch it on his Instagram channel, and I thought that was kind of cool. Because
wow, yeah.
Obviously, tickets are pretty
comfort
good.
For everyone who paid $600 for tickets.
Right.
Yeah, it's streaming for free or on Netflix for $9 a month. Suckers.
After the curtain call, the boss and wife Patty Schiaffa crossed the street from the Walter Kerr Theater to join assorted crew members at the Great White Way Watering Hole Hurley's Pub, where Bruce hopped on the bar, made a toast, and sipped a shot. Afterwards, the Springsteens were joined by Sting and Styler, along with Oprah and CBS's Gail King, longtime Springsteen manager John Landau, and his lawyer attorney.
Yes, he's so good. He's both a lawyer and an attorney.
I got to tell you something. This guy is so smart. He's a lawyer and an attorney.
Is that like a police cop?
It's like a police cop or a police doctor surgeon. It's great to be here with all you just working people. By the way, security, if any of the working people come near me, break their arms. I mean, I love you, but there's a limit.
Yeah.
He loves the working man.
I'm just a regular working man like you, growing up in Jersey.
He loves the idea.
I love it. Theoretically, it is attractive to me on a very basic level. It ends the second I step outside. Or see any of you.
You appreciated the fact that they have to scrape and save just to buy his music.
In the confines of a nice little recording studio, love it. In practical world situations, not so much.
So anyhow, his lawyer attorney, Alan Grubman, among
Grubman, the Grubber.
among others, were there for a private bash at the club room.
I love to think of
the Lowell Hotel.
That's a classic Springsteen gathering.
Yeah.
Gail King.
Yeah.
Oprah.
Sting.
Hey, I'm hanging out with Oprah.
Yeah.
Gail King. Over there's Maury Povich.
Yep.
And Steve Wilkos.
My lawyer attorney.
My lawyer attorney.
Yep.
Judge Judy, Judge Hatchett. And the guy who sells Oxy 5.
Woo doggy.
Woo doggy!
That's not Oxy 5.
No, that's Flex Seal.
Flex Seal. I want to tell you about this incredible product.
Okay, all right. So,
I'm going to apply it to a screen and then hollow out the bottom of the canoe. But I go on about it. Just have a good time.
It's unbelievable.
Unbelievable!
Yeah. So the Gin Blossoms,
are
kicking off a 27-date club and theater tour later this month in support of a recently released sixth album called Mixed Reality. As it stands now, the band's winter tour will kick off the 28th of this month in Santa Clarita, California. They will be playing at Parks Casino on February 9th.
Is that right?
I'm assuming they're playing the Excite Center, which is where we're doing the Christmas Miracle. Yes, and of course, the Blossoms have always been best known for their string of hits between 93 and 96. Hey, Jealousy, Found Out About You, Till I Hear From You.
What About You?
Allison,
Who Are You?
Allison Road, Follow You Down. Some great songs. I always liked that band.
What caused their...
They split in 1997 before deciding to reunite in 2006 with the release of their comeback album, Major Lodge Victory.
I know a couple of them became attorney lawyers.
Did they really? Well... Yeah. You tried that venture for a little while. Of course it's a lot of money.
It's double the salary.
You're an attorney and a lawyer, for Christ's sake. And happy birthday to Keith Richards.
Wow.
75 years old today. And as we were saying earlier this morning, nobody expected him to make it past 30.
I saw footage of him. It was this morning. I guess it was yesterday. But he actually has to hold his hands on each side of his ribs and push together to blow out the cake.
He is often infamously topped numerous most likely to die lists over the years.
Ha! Laughs on us.
Today also marks the 35th anniversary for Richards and his wife, Patty Hansen, who married in 1983 on the guitar's 40th birthday, with Mick Jagger serving as his best man.
So, I'm your best man.
Yeah. Not too long ago, Keith spoke to Australia's Triple M Radio and touched upon his favorite Stones tunes to play live, saying, "I always love to play Jumpin' Jack Flash. I still haven't nailed him. And every time I say tonight I'm going to kill that mother, he is always the beautiful challenge to play."
You know, it's one of my favorite songs that he's written is Salt of the Earth.
Okay.
It's just a great song.
He also said Tumbling Dice is another one that I just love to play. It is just a sweet thing to play. And if you're never short of just finding different ways of doing it also. And he said, as long as the song lives for me, I love them all. Street Fighting Man is an incredible thing to play. He said, Beast of Burden. He said, when it comes down to it, I love them all.
Beast of Burden is my favorite. It's just sexy.
It's a great song.
Yeah. This has such a great message. To the
hardworking people like Bruce identifies
like me.
With. Yeah. To the lonely
And Waiting on a Friend. Who wrote Waiting on a Friend? Was it Mick or was it both of them?
Don't really know. A lot of the material was both of them, but I love Waiting on a Friend. By the way, Rolling Stones, June 4th in Philadelphia, Lincoln Financial Field. I wonder if there might be somewhere to win tickets to a show like that sometime this week. Have to wait and find
out. It makes you wonder.
Yeah,
go ahead, play it.
Yeah. No. Okay. It's a Christmas miracle. Yeah. Woohoo.
All right, and that's what I have for you. That is music news. Today is Tattoos Day. And we are welcoming into our studio, into the microphone, everybody, this is Roland.
Yay!
How's it going?
Good, Roland. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me today. It's been a lot of fun.
Excellent. And we also want to thank our buddy Troy for being here and doing the tattooing from Philadelphia Eddie's, of course, and we'll... talk to Troy in just a second, but Roland actually had us sign his leg, and Troy etched over our our signatures, and now permanently they are a part of Roland.
It's kind of a thing for Roland and your lady.
Is that your fiance?
It's my girlfriend.
Okay. Girlfriend, okay. Yes. I saw a ring, so I wasn't sure if, but I'm not going to push it.
That's from somebody else. Let's close that deal.
But she's got a lot of signatures tattooed on her.
Yes, we both do. She has a couple more than I do.
Mostly the Gin Blossoms.
Mostly the Gin Blossoms. Keith Richards. Big, right. Yes, that's the creme de la creme.
Who do you have?
I have Pete and Sam from Chevelle.
Oh, okay.
All of Taking Back Sunday, two members of May Day Parade, and...
The Preston and Steve Show.
And the Preston and Steve Show. Yes, nice. How could I forget?
And Bruce Valanche.
We are honored to be added to the collective. And what else? The tattoo, can you describe it real quick?
Yeah, so I wanted to get an Eagles-inspired tattoo. So it's basically, it looks like Sloop, a little more menacing. He's kind of flexing a muscle. His number 93.
Yep.
P&S in the sleeve, so it looks like he's got his own Preston and Steve tattoo.
I love that.
Yep. And
well, you got the right guy doing it.
Troy did it's fantastic. It looks amazing.
Yeah, he's an amazing artist. So you're a diehard Eagles fan then?
Oh, yeah.
Nice, man. Where are you from, by the way?
I grew up in Washington's Crossing, but now I live in Burlington, New Jersey.
Okay, and what do you do?
I work for Hilti North America.
Okay. Oh. Anybody you want to say hello to while you're here?
Yeah, my mom and dad. Not that they'll listen, but I'll play the podcast later.
All right, cool.
So, and my aunt. And my girlfriend's family.
Nice.
And that's about it.
And, well, thank you for being such a diehard fan. We appreciate that and putting us permanently on your body. That's really cool.
Going on about 18 years of
it. Nice.
That's phenomenal. Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, I want to ask Troy real quick. I was just looking at pictures of you ziplining in Thailand.
Yeah, Thailand was great.
Yeah, when
went
did you?
For a 2.5-week vacation, nice. Thailand, Cambodia, Vietnam.
Was this your honeymoon?
No, did that in Hawaii last
year.
We just, once a year trip, try to do something, interesting.
Exotic. Yeah. Why East Asia? Why'd you choose that?
A friend of ours set up the trip and, we went to Machu Picchu in Peru with him 2 years ago. So yeah, it was great.
I guess
it would really be
Asia,
interesting.
It's actually Northeast America.
Oh, is that what that is?
How was Machu Picchu?
That's pretty
amazing.
Machu
Picchu was cool.
Yeah. Really
cool.
My wife has been, Claire's been and loved it. It says it's gorgeous.
Definitely like an adventurous vacation.
Yeah.
Thailand was really cool. Got to pet tigers, feed elephants.
Was anybody else with you, or did you just wander up and pet them?
Yeah, I mean it was great. I mean, there's a it's a whole different culture.
I saw a video of him really petting the tiger. You and your wife were there, and they kept feeding the tiger like duck as he was petting him, but let's just make sure this thing's fed so that he doesn't attack the people.
Were you nervous?
Feed the duck faster so it doesn't eat me.
Right.
Nervous at all?
You know, when you first walk into the first tiger cage and you get to pet like 10 different tigers, like all different sizes, white ones, baby ones, full size ones, and the first time you go in there, you're just like, oh my God, this thing's like, and it yawns and its teeth are like, you could easily fit both of our heads inside of it. You're just like, oh,
did you try that?
I have a friend that lives there, and I kind of watch his posts, on social media over the years, and how they get, like, he's just gotten a little more daring as he's been there. I guess it's just their culture. It's just how they live.
Yeah, everyone rides scooters everywhere. It's just, there's no traffic laws. It's really interesting.
It's supposed to be very cool.
It was a great experience.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Cool. And taking 2.5 weeks is a good chunk of time. So.
Yeah.
Well, nice to see you, Troy.
Thank you.
Have a good holiday and everything. And Roland, wonderful to meet you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much.
Tuesday, dear friends. All right. And with that, we will take ourselves another break, our last break. When we return, we'll get you closer to getting that Word of the Week prize, which we will give away on Friday. And Pierre will supply that letter for us. We'll be back in just a moment with it. Stay with us.
Here comes the MM Army. What's going on?
Tuesday from 8 to 10, Marissa Magnata rocks the Blue Cross River Rink, 101 South Christopher Columbus Boulevard. Win passes to Preston and Steve's Christmas Miracle and enjoy Miller Lite specials.
93.3 WMMR, everything and everywhere that rocks.
It was fun to play Name That Song in 8 Bits. I enjoyed that. It's been a while. We've never done a holiday edition, a Christmas Carol version, or not just Christmas carols, but also songs from TV shows and movies and things like that. It was cool, man.
You know what? Quick question. Case, you feeling more in the mood now?
You know what? Yes, I am.
All right.
I'm
not
really...
Not for butt stuff.
Oh,
for
I thought you meant to talk about...
No.
It's been 30 seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
You feel
better than
you? Yeah, I feel a little bit better about
Christmas.
Christmas mood. Casey was talking about how he had not been caught up in the spirit of the holiday yet. And now you feel that you are?
Well, I'm getting there. A couple of different activities over the weekend. Yes, I guess you could call them.
Holiday activities.
Over the weekend got me a little bit more in the mood. I, baked some cookies and stuff like that with the kids.
Nice.
Some Christmas presents. We're getting there, man.
All right.
Oh, the other thing is... did I tell you how I miss Santa Claus in my neighborhood?
Yes.
I caught him in another neighborhood later on in the week.
Oh, that's great.
On Friday night.
Okay.
Put down a spike strip?
No, but I was leaving my son's basketball game on Sunday night at his school. And as I was leaving the parking lot, Santa Claus was there in the fire engine. I pulled the car over, got out, yelled to Santa.
I don't have any money. I don't have any money.
But I did. So the firemen were there handing out candy canes.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I said, hey, listen, I can't go home without candy canes for my daughter. So he said, I'll give you the candy canes, but you got to give a shout out to the Broomall Fire Department. So I did that right now. Shout out, Broomall Fire Department.
That's very cool that they did that.
Yes.
Good guys. You.
So my girlfriend grew up in the Poconos and did not know about the tradition of Santa coming around on a fire truck.
Yeah.
And last week, Santa made an appearance in our neighborhood, and the fire truck and a whole bunch of cops showed up, and she went outside, and she thought, like, somebody's house was on fire, because it was just one motorcycle cop after another. She's like, what the hell
it's
is
like
going
mayhem.
On? It's mayhem, and there's a lot of sirens and a lot of lights. And I was like, oh, no, Santa's coming. She's like, What the hell is this? And I was like, you've never heard of this? It was completely foreign to her.
It's a big tradition.
It's pretty much on the weekend, right?
Yeah, yeah. It was on a Saturday.
Okay, so I'm assuming maybe... What?
Ours was always during the week.
Was it? Okay.
In Broomall it was. And then where I grew up in Rutledge, it was always on Christmas Eve.
Okay. Ours has always been in the morning, so that's why I know it's usually during during the weekend, which is cool for the fire companies to, give up a little bit of a weekend here. I'm sorry, Pierre, do you want to jump in?
I think the headphones aren't working, Pierre. Yeah.
Headphones are down.
Yes. Oh, we had some problems. You want to borrow mine?
No, sorry.
So I'm valiantly trying to get the headphones going. So.
Yeah, the guest headphones are not working properly.
It's all good. Christmas Eve is my neighborhood.
That's your neighborhood?
Yep.
All right, man.
Oh, they come around Christmas Eve?
Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
The fire department.
I love that. Those guys are great. And it's anybody who's got to work great. Like over the holidays, you know?
Right. And, you know, the neighbors gather in various spots in the neighborhood, and there'll be a sign out in the morning. Santa will be here at, 6 o'clock in this corner at 6:45.
Aww.
And neighbors gather, and they bring cookies for dogs. And Santa gets off the fire truck smelling slightly of spirits. And spirit of Christmas. And it has a hearty ho, 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 and a request for some Led Zeppelin for me. And it's all good.
Awesome. Cool.
Nice. How you doing, man? Good to see you.
Very happy to see you, kids.
We should do the letter of the day. Robin took care of the first one yesterday.
Yes.
And we're ready for the second one, so let's do this thing now.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
N as in naughty or nice.
I like that. So we will give away a custom Aquaman Xbox One X console from WB Pictures, DC, and Microsoft. There were only 25 of these made, so they're very, very exclusive. Be sure to see Aquaman. It is in theaters this Friday. So we will give away that prize on that exact same day. So everything good in your world, Pierre?
Yeah, I went up to see the Bruce show the night before the closing night.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, there was nobody famous in the audience. So there was no Sting. There was no Trudy. There was no Oprah.
I guess everybody figured they'd wait one day and go to the final.
Well, they knew I was coming. They didn't want to be there on the night I was
Pierre's
coming. But it was quite amazing.
Had you seen it before?
I had not.
Oh, okay.
And was it on Netflix already?
It will be.
Okay.
So, but it's streamed live.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Very cool stuff. Amazing show. Amazing show. So we'll get to a double shot of Bruce with both of his Christmas songs in today. It is Double Shot Tuesday. And, of course, it is St. Keith's birthday. So that must be celebrated with all the honor, dignity, pageantry, and respect that you might imagine.
Let me ask you something. Because I know you know this, you're passionate about the Stones, and obviously we all are, but you more so. Of the two, who's more responsible between Keith and Mick? Who's more responsible? Not just give credit, but who has more percentage of sway over the Rolling Stones sound?
See, when you said responsible first, I was going to go with Mick because he orchestrates everything. He had them rehearse for 7 weeks for the first five shows, and it wasn't even a full tour scheduled. 7 weeks for five shows. So in terms of responsible, he's that way. In terms of the sound, I really do think it's a collaboration.
Okay.
I think they each bring, oftentimes bands, that's why sometimes when a singer or a member of a band goes off on their own, it's not as good because that collective, there's something about that collective,
right,
damaged and frazzled as it may be, that brings something larger than the individual.
Steve, you'd asked about waiting on a friend, so I looked it up, and it's Jagger Richards. And then you can actually look up songs by Jagger Richards, and it's just as extensive, if not more so, than Lennon McCartney.
Okay.
It's just one after another after another, and you wouldn't have the song without both of those
both
guys.
Both of them, yep.
You know.
The video, by the way, for Waiting on a Friend.
I love it.
It's amazing. Great.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites, and it's one of the lesser, I guess, for a lot of Stones fans, it's one of my favorites of theirs.
It's just Mick on a steps of a brownstone waiting as Keith continually walks through the streets of New York, reminding me of me, just, oh, look at that little fancy nice light. Oh, all right, I'll get there eventually.
I'll be honest, I don't know where I am.
But, I mean, he is such a pirate. I mean, and Johnny, having interviewed him a couple of times, that raspy voice, there is just nothing like it. So it's so cool because when he walked in the room the first time, he just goes, and this guy had come, you know, and Mick, we had interviewed Mick first, and a very formal, very nice, but very responsible, if you will. And then the door flies open, and it's a Sunday afternoon. There's no show. It's just a promotional tour. He's got eye makeup on. He's got beads in his hair. His shirt is almost down to his waist. He's got scarves. He's got endless beads and necklaces and jewelry. And a guy had come in about 20 minutes before with this giant glass of orange liquid. And I said to the assistant, "What's that?" And he goes, "Vodka, of course." Yeah. and Keith walks in and he says hi to everybody in this swaggering pirate way. And he sees the drink and he goes, "Oh, nuclear waste. I love it."
Apparently, it's vodka and Sunkissed we were reading.
Yeah, right.
That's his choice.
Right. Yeah. So it's just it's the stuff of stuff. So we'll do a gigantic block of the Rolling Stones featuring St. Keith and some Christmas stuff and some Clash stuff and Double Shot Tuesday stuff, and it'll be a fun day.
It shall. Thank you, Pierre. I want to thank our sponsors, Preston and Steve Show, brought to you today by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Also, Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show, and French Creek Outfitters. With everything you need for the great outdoors, FrenchCreekOutfitters.com. Why take a chance with anybody else? Tomorrow on the program, we're going to get a call from Scotty Hartnell.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to him. What's going on with Scott, by the way?
They have Scott Hartnell night. It's not official retirement night, but they're doing, I mean, he's leaving the league. He left the league, and so they're going to honor him on Thursday night's game because he played for both the Flyers and the Predators. And we can talk to him about the Flyers' new head coach, their new goalie, and everything that's going on with the team, because it's been a tumultuous few weeks.
And we like Scott. He's an old friend of the show.
He's a good dude.
Fox Good Day going on with them tomorrow, and we'll do more invites for the Christmas Miracle. In fact, we'll do the rest of our invites.
Shoot our load.
Christmas Miracle tomorrow, because we're getting ready for that on Thursday. That's it. We are done. Rage on. Have yourself a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
All I wish for Christmas is for my supervisor to bathe before he comes to work. I don't know what that smell is. I cannot take it any more.
Next message.
Ah, sweet mystery of life, at last I found thee. I'm going to the Christmas Miracle.
Next message.
Hey, I know it's days before Christmas and all, but why does it seem every time I go to the post office full of people who seemingly never step foot in a post office before? You don't show up with your all loose and unpacked. They don't write out your labels. They mail your That's it. Get right, people.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.